public on Substack have received documents from a whistleblower who was recruited to participate in the Cyber Threat Intelligence League, or CTIL, through cybersecurity meetings hosted by the Department of Homeland Security. These documents reveal how the U.S. government recruited a web of NGOs and private individuals to do what the government cannot lawfully do, censor and subvert the American people. Led by military contractor Sarah Jane Terp and Pablo Brewer of U.S. Special Operations, a primary objective was to replace words like propaganda and censorship with the term cognitive security in the ethos of the cybersecurity industry.
Cognitive security is the thing you want to have. You want to protect that cognitive layer. It's about pollution. Misinformation, disinformation is a form of pollution across the internet. And just because we're going to get comments about this, my position on this is clear, has always been clear. We don't want to remove people's voices. What we're trying to remove is artificial megaphones.
They wrote that the third pillar of the information environment should be the cognitive dimension, which is just another way of saying mind control.
You're not trying to get people to believe lies most of the time. Most of the time, you're trying to change their belief sets. And in fact, really, deeper than that, you're trying to change, to shift their internal narrative slightly, or at least use their internal narratives.
Brewer explained how this cognitive social engineering needs to be customized for Americans.
Different audiences are going to require different methods of delivery and different messages, and that's because they've got these pre-existing social and cognitive biases. So you certainly, if you talk to the average Chinese citizen, they absolutely believe that the Great Firewall of China is not there for censorship. They believe that it's there because the People's Republic of China and the Chinese Communist Party want to protect their citizenry, and they absolutely believe that's a good thing. If the U.S. government tried to sell that narrative, we would absolutely lose our minds and say, no, this is a violation of our First Amendment rights. So the in-group and out-group messaging have to be often different.
Another term they used to justify their crimes against the American people is public-private partnership. To work around violating Americans' constitutional rights, private citizens did the dirty work under government supervision. Terp and Brewer openly admit that they are set up as a private NGO to censor American citizens for the U.S. military.
I wear two hats, and I mentioned the one hat is the director of the Donovan Group, the military director of the Donovan Group, which is that future studies and think tank. In my other hat, I'm what they call an innovation officer. I'm one of two innovation officers at SoftWorks, which is a completely unclassified 501c3 nonprofit that's funded by U.S. Special Operations Command. And that's so that we can get after non-traditional problems and non-traditional tactics and work with non-traditional partners.
They targeted people who were protesting the lockdowns and developed the DISARM framework, which was employed by the World Health Organization for countering anti-vaccination campaigns. They subvert social media companies, and they report website domains to registrars. To influence public opinion, they create fake accounts and infiltrate private groups. They train influencers to spread their messaging, and they pressure banks to cut off people's accounts. For more of this, go to Public on Substack, who will be pressing our elected officials with these documents. Greg Reese reporting.
All right, a major government whistleblower has gone public confirming millions of dead from the shots. It's all about to break right now. Tell everybody you know, tune in now. All right, we've had a development in the pandemic depopulation operation that is earth-shaking. And I talk a lot about huge developments here on air, that if the listeners focus on it, if the viewers focus on it and get excited and go research it and then share it, we can become the number one story in the world, and we can move light years towards bringing the perpetrators of this giant planetary depopulation operation to justice and stop their operations dead in their tracks. So we have Steve Kirsch already coming on about the 20 million dead in the insurance actuary, 17 to 22 million dead. The numbers vary, but it's around 20 million. and Mainline, Lancet, published stories. The list goes on and on. He's in the second hour, so 54 minutes from now. Yesterday, this broke, and they didn't even deny it was true in New Zealand. They said, yes, he was the head administrator over the government database, and he's been relieved of his job. He's been removed. And yes, you know, he's a statistician, a computer expert, but he's not a virologist, so don't listen to him. And they don't even say his name. That's in the national news of New Zealand. It's on their public radio, national TV. They're not denying this, okay? Now, here's what's important. They're admitting he published secret data. He redacted the names of the dead. But only the government had that database to know who was dead and who was live in the National Healthcare Database. Everything else he put out is public. And our own Greg Reese, 2 years ago and a year ago and 6 months ago, has done three reports on this, looking at U.S. numbers from these databases and U.K. numbers. So, ladies and gentlemen, get ready for this information. No one was looking at any of the databases. No one but him had control of all of them at the same time. They confirm he was the head administrator. And he says he looked it up. It's the only major tier one country that's high tech, like Israel or Canada or the U.S. or, you know, the U.K. or South Korea, tier one countries, where one person was in charge of it all. He looked it up. And all the other countries, it's compartmentalized, so no one would be able to put it all together. Though the Pentagon, with one hand, has been pushing it all, but with the other, we've got Pentagon reports saying mass death and a new Navy report confirming 900+% increase in heart failure in the military. It's a Navy report on the general military, but they saw similar numbers. 900+, almost 1,000% increase. We'll play that clip again. And months and months and months ago, he went to a big, famous, well-known lawyer that heads up a political party who's also a journalist. And the whistleblower gave her and her group the information. And so for the last 6 months, they've been vetting it all and did an hour-plus long briefing to a group of the press with graphs and slides and numbers and provided them all with the numbers. So I want to explain something, and he explains it. 90% of this is public data, but no one has the national database on who's alive and who's dead. And he was the only one, and they admit in the news, oh, he was the head administrator. So he went and crunched the numbers because he saw the numbers from other countries, and he found the same numbers. Now, they almost exclusively, and he shows this, 98% of New Zealand took Pfizer. Other countries, it was a mix. It was always, though, Pfizer being the majority. But we find even worse numbers with Moderna. It's the exact same shot, just four times stronger. And it was made by the Pentagon. And now it's breaking in the news that the Pentagon ran the propaganda against the world, censoring anybody that pointed out these shots didn't work or were dangerous. And that's in the news today. We'll be getting to that. It's all coming down. It's being exposed. It's insane. Ladies and gentlemen, they would give a couple thousand people the shot and a couple hundred would die. A couple hundred. We have the insurance actuaries that Edward Dowd, 2 years ago on this show, said, soon I'll have top whistleblowers from the insurance industry go public. Now those whistleblowers in the last year have been testifying to Congress. One of them is the recognized top insurance statistician in the world. At least a 40% increase in death from any previous year. To explain that, World War II had a 4 or 5% increase in death. World War I, about a 7 to 8% worldwide increase in death. This is a 40% increase starting in 2021 with the shots, not the year before with COVID. No increase in death. Flat, regular year. Lower than even a few years before. But when the shots start, the bodies start hitting the ground. And this guy starts crying in the middle of the press conference, and it's completely real. Al Pacino couldn't act this good. And he's obviously shook up, because that's normal when you're killing massive numbers of your own people and you discover the government knows and had it just hidden in plain view by thinking, oh, well, the head guy over the program, there's all these other sub programs. They'll never go crunch the numbers. They'll never go actually look at them. And you look at them, and immediately when the shots start, the death explodes. Explodes to levels never before seen. Never before seen. So here's what I'm going to do ahead of Steve Kearns joining us. The first thing I'm going to do is air Greg Reese's report from January 2 years ago. That's the first report we're going to air here in just a moment. Red states being targeted by the poison batches, because whether you're in New Zealand or whether you're in Sweden or whether you're in the U.S., it's the same global program. It varied a little country to country, but around 50% were saline, salt water. Around 40% were a light dose of the spike protein poison and the other goodies they put in there. Remember, they wouldn't even say what was in there for a while. The nanolipids, all of it, all the other RNA, DNA, you name it. The SV40 cancer virus that's in all of them. They were ordered to put it in there. All four vaccines have it. The two mRNA, the two virus vectors. AstraZeneca, J&J, they got it too. They have a virus that goes into your cell with a virus within it that orders your body to make the spike protein. So they all do the same thing. And the Pentagon told them, it turns out, 2 years before they released the virus in 2018 to all prepare to produce this. And that's come out in the documents. So it's all completely on record. Creates a spike protein that hits the exact chain point on the DNA that cuts off your immune system and begins the process of giving you cancer. This is deadly beyond belief. But while it's busy cutting your DNA, your body starts attacking it and so eats holes in itself. It's just incredible what they've done. I mean, we are in the middle of a bioweapon war. Skip the break. We're in the middle of a giant bioweapon war. We're all veterans of a bioweapon war. And when I talk about the Pentagon being behind this, that's who got the orders at the top. That's who produced it. That's who gave the orders. That's who took the university research data and put it together. That's who quarterbacked the other governments and how to respond and how to censor and control. Greg Reese just followed another report today where it's all being declassified, that the Army Special Operations out of Tampa, Florida, was running everything, censoring everyone, controlling everyone, our military at war with us, and bombing our troops with it. And here's the bad news. We've now got the numbers. They didn't give the troops 10% poison shot. They gave the officers saline, and they gave the enlisted 100% of them the death injection. The lethal injection doesn't mean all of them will be killed, but they're going to be crippled. They're taking out the U.S. military. And if you're going to carry that out, who does the killing? Well, that's the prerogative of the Pentagon. When you kill your own people, that's who you call to do it. You call the executioner. The officers got saline. The enlisted got the hot shot. Cold-blooded, ladies and gentlemen. Cold-blooded beyond belief. You see how this works in the future. Oh, it's your time. We're going to randomly select with a computer. It's this group of soldiers, or it's this group of police officers or firefighters or school children. You come in. It's your day at the clinic to get your shot. And the people at the clinic don't know. Here's the stuff. Get shipped in. You give them the shot. They're given a soft kill injection. Then the people that you don't want to kill get called in. They get their saline. They're fine. This is how you execute everybody. You don't ship them to a camp. Though they've got those built for the people that escape. No, you just selectively target who you want to kill through the database, range finding. So here's Greg Reese's report dealing with this. red states being targeted with poison shots. Let's put the headline on screen so I can give the exact headline. I'm going from memory here of Greg Reese's report, because I had that earlier, but I don't see it here on the list. There it is. Evidence that U.S. government targeted red states with deadly batches of vaccines. That's about 2 years ago. That's 23 months ago. 22 and a half months ago, January 21st, 2022. That's one of three reports he's done. That was the first. And that's off what top statisticians were seeing in the databases. Then we're going to go to the head administrator for the entire country of New Zealand. And then he released the data, only the names of the dead redacted, but told law enforcement he's happy to give them the unredacted. And now the ball's in their court, you see. Because the government knows when you die. Government knows when you have heart surgery. Government knows when you got gonorrhea. It's all in databases. They've been taking your blood since birth, putting it in databases. That's all come out. We broke that. 1997. Now it's all over the news today. Ooh, breaking news. Give a Pulitzer Prize for it. I want you to let that sink in long and hard, folks. And we're going to get to the whistleblower and more. And the full hour-plus presentation he gives, and they confirm he's the head administrator. Head administrator. And he starts crying and saying, I can't believe they did this to people. It's all premeditated. He said, and I know they're going to come get me, but I have to do it. I can't be part of the killing. And starts crying. And that's a normal thing. You're not crying because you're a wimp. You're crying because it's so sad that we're in this position. And the people can't admit it. But when you finally admit it, this guy's some well-meaning government liberal. And he goes, wait, we really weren't helping people? We were really killing them. Why would you do that? That all the lawyers vetted, all the people go through it. They've been sitting on this for 6 months. And here's the key. This is going to spur other whistleblowers to go public. We just saw that Navy officer come out and show you the internal official Navy letterhead report that the Navy has been plagued along with other services in almost a 1,000%. It's like 976% increase in heart failure in general. By the way, this never happened before. Starting to figure it out now, folks? Yeah, look, I know it sounds crazy when I get up here and tell you all this, that Henry Kissinger put in a U.S. government policy in the early 1970s to reduce the world population by at least 50% through vaccines and chemicals in the food and water. That was the old number, 50%. Now they want 80 or 90, but it's State Department Memorandum 200. Anybody go look at it. It's on the State Department website. Wasn't he classified until 91? I'm sorry our government's seized by crazy people. But remember, they think we're dumb and deserve it, because if we do let them do this, they think we're going to get away with this. If we do let them do this, I guess we kind of deserve to die. But let me tell Bill Gates and all the rest of them and Henry Kissinger, he'll never face a Nuremberg trial, but he'll face God's judgment, already has. People are figuring out what you've done real fast. There's a great awakening happening. And God has said, vengeance is mine. So you better worry about that symbol we got on that desk right there of a skull and a dagger and angel wings. Because Satan doesn't control the angel of death. And Satan doesn't control vengeance. God does. God controls the sword. God controls our lives. And God has that angel sitting there ready for the orders. You guys want to pretend you're the angel of death and carry it out on us? You will reap 1,000 times 1,000-fold what you've done to us. And you will be destroyed. Here's Greg Reese's original report.
X. ex-head of respiratory research at Pfizer, Mike Yeadon, and researchers including Craig Partycooper have sourced VAERS data on vaccine death and injury in the U.S., a database of over 700,000 adverse reactions caused by the Moderna, Pfizer, and Janssen vaccines. These vaccines have been deployed in different batches, officially referred to as lots. This has allowed Yeadon's team to back engineer Big Pharma's COVID-19 vaccine deployment agenda in the U.S. All their information is published at howbadismybatch.com and howbad.info. And what we learn is quite telling. About 0.5% of all the different batches are highly toxic, resulting in hospitalization, disability, and death within days or weeks of injection. Other batches cause minimal adverse reactions, and most appear to be harmless placebos. When plotting on a timeline, we can see that these three companies have been working together to quietly monitor the lethal effectiveness of specific deadly batches. While one company is deploying a lethal batch, the other two deploy harmless ones, creating the scientific environment to perform dose range finding, or the maximum tolerated dose for each specific batch. The timeline shows that each lethal batch deployment is preceded and followed by a quiet period, allowing them time to establish their baseline before the next deadly batch is deployed. Private leaked documents from the CDC show a list of expiry dates, and only certain lots are included, the very same lots found to be highly toxic in Partycooper's database. Which makes sense. There would be no reason to list expiration dates for saline placebo. Only the deadly ones. This mode of deployment allows governments the ability to direct deadly batches into specific populations, such as red states. Analysis of the number of dying per 100,000 vaccinated in 50 states shows us that the overwhelming majority of vaccine deaths are happening in red states. Some red states are experiencing 11 times more vaccine deaths than other states. On average, red states are experiencing twice the amount of vaccine death and injuries than blue states. After ruling out other possibilities, Partycooper concluded that this can only be due to the fact that red states received at least twice as much of the lethal batches than blue states did. Among several other crimes, they are tipping the scales of the democratic process by killing people who voted against the New World Order's woke, build back better, great reset, while at the same time endlessly flooding the borders with unvaccinated foreigners. And it's happening right now. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Information daily. You can trust us as a source of that information. You can also trust the Director General of Health and the Ministry of Health. For that information, do feel free to visit at any time to clarify any rumour you may hear, covid19.govt.nz. Otherwise, dismiss anything else. We will continue to be your single source of truth. We will provide information frequently. We will share everything we can, everything else you see, a grain of salt. And so I really ask people to focus.
The most egregious example of that appears to be this text which originated in Malaysia and has become a viral hoax in Australia and in New Zealand. How irresponsible is it that people that are sharing that news of a lockdown imminent in New Zealand?
Yeah, and look, that's the kind of thing that adds to the anxiety that people feel. So I continue to share the message. New Zealanders must prepare, but do not panic. Prepare. And when you see those messages, remember that unless you hear it from us, it is not the truth. And I really ask people, just visit covid19.govt.nz. It has all of the up-to-date information. And we will continue to provide everything you need to know.
That's her. 3 years ago, they were murdering people en masse knowingly under direct orders of Klaus Schwab, Tedros, and the UN, Bill Gates. They did it. It's a fact. They'll never get away with it. You know it in your gut. You feel it. The problem is their operatives are back in the news saying, you hadn't heard of Disease X in 4 years. Disease X is imminent. It'll be 20 times worse. New lockdowns everywhere. You're all dead unless you do what they say. Unless you do what King Charles says, William Shatner said, you're all going to die. But if you do what they say and follow their orders, you're going to die. I've broken the code. It's not even hard. I've been tracking him for 35 years. All the men in my family knew about this growing up and told me about it. This is going on. This is happening. This is the plan. And now we're here. You're not going to have to listen to me anymore. You're going to live it. You just went through it. We're going to come back with the whistleblower. Oh, only listen to the government? Well, we have the head administrator of all the databases. We're going to listen to him. And they confirm the head administrator. They won't even say his name. The head administrator, they say, has been relieved. And they say his interpretation is false, and they added nothing back. But we see the numbers of death everywhere. We saw the FDA document in October last year, October 2020, before they even released it, saying, we believe the shot will cause all the things it did cause. The heart attacks, the myocarditis, the blood clots, the strokes, the cancer, the turbo cancer. Woo! I mean, it is wild. They really did it. They really released it. They really attacked us. All right, there is a total totalitarian takeover happening that wants to dominate your very body. There is a UN treaty right now that governments are signing on to all over the world. Many governments are not signing on to that lets them put you in a camp with no evidence, no nothing, ladies and gentlemen. So to try to even begin to cover it makes the head spin. But now we have a major whistleblower that was in charge of the government databases, the administrator of New Zealand's COVID databases, saying the piece that was secret was the number of deaths. The government knows it. Here it is. They just thought he wouldn't look at it, but he saw other analyses by Robert Malone and Dr. Michael Yeadon and Stephen Kirsch and Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Joseph McCullough, all of them. And he goes and looks. It's like, oh, my God. Couple thousand people take the shot, 100-something are dead. I mean, it's crazy. And then you look at the types of deaths, heart attacks, strokes, all of it. You see it everywhere. And then you have the insurance company experts coming out and saying 40-plus percent death in all the countries that took it, 40% increase in previous numbers. Usually, you know, some years, oh, it went down a point or it went up 2 points. It just goes along kind of flat with a few bumps and a few valleys. But then you take the shots, straight up, like a F-16 with its afterburner is going straight up. We're about to play a boil down of the whistleblower. It's only about 9 minutes long. But the full thing is now being posted at band.video as we speak. And I'll probably come in here tomorrow and do an emergency Saturday show and actually air the whole thing and get into more details. In fact, there's no probably about it. We'll go live at noon tomorrow and tie it into all the other information and do a commercial-free, at least two-hour live show tomorrow. The crew, they're not even mad. They understand. We have a limited crew. I wish we had a bigger crew. That's when they work 7 days a week. That's okay. So do I. Then I'll be back with a regular Saturday show, 4 to 6 p.m. But that's how serious this is. Now, remember, without getting into all the technicals, Free Speech Systems, that is the parent company of InfoWars, will stay on the air indefinitely for years if we have enough funding. The judge said in Monday's hearing, I was in Houston, that looks like it's going to go through. He's getting ready to move forward with the free speech contract. He wanted some clarifications, some other things, and Free Speech Systems goes forward. I have my separate private bankruptcy. My lawyers told me, they said, you need to file before these judgments. I didn't listen to them. And so because I didn't do it before, it's non-dischargeable. Doesn't matter. It's like saying, hey, Alex, will you fly to Mars? I don't have a spaceship. I can't. Well, you could just fly to the moon then. $1.5 billion, $85 million. $1.5 billion is like saying, Jones, sprout wings fly to the moon. Or sprout wings fly to Mars. $85 million is like sprout wings fly to the moon. Don't have wings, can't do it. I'm upside down millions of dollars. I never, never, never had more than $10 million in assets, despite what you hear them say. It's all lies, ladies and gentlemen. All crap. All made up. So to boil it down before I get back to this huge news, just give me a status update. If you simply buy products at InfoWarsStore.com, if you simply spread the word about the reports and the articles, if you simply continue to do what you're doing, we will stay on air. Me personally, I literally might move in with my parents. I don't care. I don't care about money. I don't give a rat's ass. That's why it's a sick joke on them. They told these big lies. They had $400 million. Said I would go to jail for hiding money. Notice you don't hear that now. None of it was true. None of it. All lies. The lies are so big, though, people say, well, some of it must be true. And then they're freaking out, panicking out, going, what? He doesn't care? He doesn't care about money? No. But the judge set it up where I have to pay half the legal bills, and I'm upside down. That's why you go to defendjones.com, a gift, send, go, and make a donation so I can pay my multi-million dollar bill, which the enemy has spent in the last year $25 million trying to shut me down. That's in the news. To the bankruptcy filings, $25 million this year in 11 months trying to shut us down, deposing hundreds of people, PIs, harassment, everything. All a big joke because we're as clean as a whistle, folks. Straight lace as it gets. Other than drinking some. That's it. And so, I mean, my life's an open book. And I need to raise money. DefendJones.com. I want to thank all of you that donated, but that's one of the critical places, DefendJones.com. You can also get a copy of my book, either signed or unsigned. Really get the signed copy. That really helps me because I get part of the funds for that to pay these bills. And I just see it as fuel in this fight. We're like a tank running over the enemy. We need fuel in the engine. It's real simple. And I expect to expend everything in this fight. I'm going all the way, but I can't do it without you. Go to defendjones.com or get a copy of my book, The Great Awakening, Defeating the Globalists and Launching the Next Great Renaissance. Twice the length of the last book. Incredible. Getting great reviews. Get it at InfoWarsStore.com, a signed or unsigned copy. And that keeps yours truly on the air. InfoWarsStore.com. Get a copy of it now. And then two other announcements. I'm going to skip the breaks. We have more time and get into the big whistleblower. But you're only getting this information because you supported the broadcast. And we're able, because of you, not me, you, millions of listeners, to punch this out and have this go mega viral. And I don't just do this on air. When I reviewed this yesterday, confirmed it was real, confirmed in the New Zealand news that he was the head administrator, who do you think I sent the video to? I sent it to Joe Rogan. And I called him. I sent it to Tucker Carlson, and we talked on text. And I sent it to about 50 other influential people, and they're all covering it today. This hadn't broken the West yet. You know other talk show hosts, most of them just wait and wait till they break it. No, no, sir. No, sir. We're a distributed attack. It's not about Alex Jones. It's about the people and folks that have a big audience. It's about us together. It isn't about who gets the big scoop. It isn't about who gets the credit. Well, you get the credit for this, you get put in prison or killed. But we save a lot of people to defeat the globalists. So InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139 to get amazing products like X2. And the sad part about it is it took them a year to make this. They had to bring in a bunch of chemists because our last supplier that we asked them to make 10 years ago said, we're not working with you anymore, so nobody else has this. It's the only pure iodine out there that anybody sells. It goes right into your cells. It's the missing link. It took them a year to make it. They think it'll take them 6 months to make the next batch. We've sold out of over half of it. It'll be sold out in less than a month, but it's still up there discounted. So to go back to full price soon, X2, InfoWarsStore.com. Get yours today. And it's not in the packets anymore because we can put more into a canister. So you get even more and it's even stronger. Turbo Force Plus. The strongest, highest quality ingredients. Take an hour to go over them all. 10 hours distributed energy. Top designer made this. We are so proud of it. 10 hours of clean energy without the hangover. This is our ultimate nootropic. Back in stock. Discounted InfoWarsStore.com. Turbo Force. Back in stock. InfoWarsStore.com. Or 888-253-3139. Everybody needs colloidal silver. While you're at it, get a bottle of the original 300 parts per million, colloidal silver, the safest, best out there, silver bullet, InfoWarsStore.com or 888-253-3139. All right, I'm done talking about that. So let me recap if you just joined us. yesterday morning in New Zealand, which is 3 days ago because they're a day ahead. So it's 2 days ago here, but 3 days ago there. They had a group of journalists get together in a classroom university setting, and they put on the data with a whistleblower that many months ago reached out to a well-known talk show host and lawyer who heads up a major political party in New Zealand and said, I am the head administrator of all the databases. And they went and checked. It was true. They vetted it all. Then they went through the data and prepared this presentation. And the piece that's secret is the names of people and how many died. But the government watches that and knows that. Everything else he says is in public databases. That's how you've seen us put out reports from the U.S. and in Europe, that, you know, that in Australia, we hadn't done New Zealand, you know, that showed the 17 to 25, depending on which group you look at, death of everybody taking the shot. So up to a quarter of the people, the low end 17s, we're going with that, up to a quarter of the, Don Salazar has an article, 20% of those that took the shot died in New Zealand. That's the that's the median. But let's just go with the low numbers, 17%. And they don't counter him. They say, oh, it's misinformation. And in the articles all over the New Zealand news, they go, yeah, he's the former head administrator. But, you know, he's giving you disinformation. No, the insurance numbers show a 40-plus percent increase in deaths worldwide. Normally, when there's a year that pops up, it's 2% above the last year. And again, it goes up and down, but it stays basically flat in the aggregate. Not flat now. Life expectancy going down. Death going straight up. Don't believe me? Just type in. No one knows why Western countries suddenly have a lowered life expectancy after 2021. It wasn't 2020. It wasn't COVID. They had 76 deaths of COVID in New Zealand total. Now they've got massive numbers of deaths. And he just shows small snapshots. And then he gets into the larger numbers. But we're talking a couple thousand people take the shot. Hundreds of them die. Most of them within 2 weeks. We've kept pointing that out. Bombshell New Zealand whistleblower reveals over 20% who took Pfizer jab died. And Adon's right. It's really over 20, but I went with the lowest number in the groups they looked at just to be, you know, very, in fact, it's actually, I was deceptive. Trying to be absolutely reasonable, it is over 20. I'm just saying 17 because some of the groups they looked at only was 17.6%. Some are as high as 25.7. So Adon's being accurate. It's over 20%. Over 20%, deader than a doornail, most of them within 2 weeks. So, the lawyers asked him not to say his name. The media is not even saying it. They're saying, yes, it's true. He released this. Yes, he was the head administrator. But we say his findings are wrong without giving any challenge. This just broke in the last few days. Just broke here in the West last night. So here's a 9-minute boil down. The full video is, I'm being told, being uploaded now at band.video. We'll post on the front page of InfoWars. It's over an hour long. Here is what they fear. Because not just this. This is huge. This could bring them down. But as more people inside the system go public, it's game over. They wanted to roll this mass murder out. And as it came out, have the administrators cover it up because they don't want to get in trouble. Then you've corrupted them. Now you can do even bigger things. This was a test to see if they can release their disease X that all the big globalists are saying is imminently about to be released. So after this clip, I'm going to play Peter Hotez saying, 20 times worse, disease X, imminent, do what we say. Literally holding a gun to your head. Here it is.
Right. Well, I was involved with building a project, helped with implementing a vaccine payment system for our providers. It's called a pay per dose system. So it means that every time someone gets vaccinated, they get a payment for it as a provider. And I helped build it. I implemented it. And when I was looking at the data, which is part of my job, I noticed some discrepancies with the dates of death, people dying within a week of being vaccinated.
So what did you notice when you first started to look at this data as you were building it?
Well, as soon as the system went live, we noticed that people were dying almost straight away after being injected. So that sort of prompted my curiosity a bit. And So I dug a little deeper, and I am a scientist by nature. I love science. It's my all-time favorite. I've got a master's degree in science.
Nobody
knows this data. Nobody but me in New Zealand has seen this data. Now I'm giving it to the world.
Explain why. Explain that.
Because it's a payment system, and I'm the database administrator for it. I'm the only one. Because New Zealand is a small country, you can get away with one database administrator to do this. So I'm in a unique position in the world, and because New Zealand is a tier one country with really good IT, I was able to manage and build the system and as be the only database administrator needed to look after it. In other countries like America or Britain, you'd need a whole team of people. So it would be very difficult for one person to get access to all of this information. But in New Zealand, because of the size and because it's got really good IT, I happen to be the one.
A lot of people want to know, what was my batch? What can you do to help Kiwis with that?
Okay, so what I did with the data was look at the top 10 batches that were had a high death count, a high mortality rate, and I put them on a chart, which you can see up there. So it's got a batch ID, which is our internal number for a batch, but you can easily get the Pfizer batch ID from that. It shouldn't be too difficult.
Tell us more about that, because a lot of people will say, hey, that's only the top 10. I want to know my batch. What would you advise?
Yep, you can do that. There's a website, Find My Batch, for the whole world that can actually find that. We can list this on a website, the whole number of batches. There are 119 individual batches so far in New Zealand, 119.
Of the Pfizer.
Actually, no, of all of them, because we have Moderna, we have AstraZeneca, but they're only few and far between. Mostly it's Pfizer. Mostly it's Pfizer in New Zealand.
So people can find that?
Yeah.
Find my batch?
Yes, they should be able to. Yes.
Hello.
So what I did was our internal batch ID, I counted the number of vaccinated within that batch, and then I found out who was dead.
Wow, let's have a look.
And so we then look at the percentage of the ratio.
So do we know if these are all Pfizer, the top 10?
Yes, they are.
And this is Pfizer's batch number one. We've had 711 from batch number one vaccinated. 152 of those died, which makes a 21%
percentage.
Death
mortality rate.
They are high. Now,
there are different ways to look at the data. You can slice it and dice it. So another way I looked at it was, are the vaccinators themselves, what are they doing? Are we looking at some who have got a higher mortality rate than others? And sure enough, if we look at the next one, unfortunately there are. So what we have here are the top 10 vaccinators who have the highest ratios of mortality.
For privacy reasons, we have redacted the names of those jabbed and the names of those jabbing.
Yeah, we have to.
We have to. So we've just called it Vaccinator 1.
Yeah, but these are individuals. These are real people. These are real numbers. This is government data. So the top V1 has vaccinated 246 people. And 60 of them are now no longer with us.
And that is nearly 25%.
Nearly one in four that person vaccinated is now dead. And you can come up with any number of reasons for it, but this should never happen. This should never happen. If they were all doing their job correctly, if there's a normal vaccine, it would be 0.75.
And if you were arguing, okay, there was one vaccinator who was incompetent, not doing the job properly, that's an aberration. But look at the other numbers.
Yeah.
So it looks, then we start to say, what is it they were putting into people's bodies? Because the uniformity is what they were putting in. Look at this one. Yeah. 621 by vaccinator, the third highest vaccinator. 621, 104 people dead, nearly 17% of the people they jabbed.
Yeah. And unless they go around terminally ill cancer wards and injecting people who they know are going to die, then there is no other explanation for this data. And why would they be doing that anyway? You know, it doesn't make any sense. The vaccine is meant to protect those people. On the left there, the big red line, is the Christchurch earthquake event. So that is the outlier, and that's a lot of people died on that day. From there, the next line where you get more than 120 people dying is sometime 2012. Then you get nothing for a year. 2013 doesn't have any. 2014, you got a couple. Then nothing. 2016, you got one. Then nothing until 2018, where you get a whole bunch, a whole cluster. That's probably due to a flu epidemic, because all these spikes that you see, these black lines previously on the left-hand side, they're all due to the winter flu season. So you've got to remember that. All these deaths happening June, July, August. So there, in 2018, we had a big flu epidemic. Moving on to the right, you get another one. Then the next red one, the Christchurch massacre, which was in 2019 in March. But from that, you get a cluster in 2020, a whole bunch there. May have been another bad flu season. We don't know. But then from 2021, midway, you see a black line there appearing. And then it's like a flick of a switch. Suddenly, the black lines get closer together. And there's more of them. Very thick black lines there. So this one here, peak deaths was COVID, with or from COVID. But then the deaths from COVID, if you look at the Worldometer website, it correlates to that. That is the same time, and they say that over 60 people died with or from COVID. Then after that, it suddenly drops off. So after that, you only get a couple of people a day dying with or from COVID. So if you go back to the chart there, in that case, you would expect to see the black lines disappear, because no one's dying from COVID anymore, right? But you're not. You're absolutely not. You see in the black lines, there are more people dying than ever before. These are the biggest number of deaths we've seen in history of New Zealand. The death rate has gone up 6%, 8% year on year. Even after COVID wasn't a thing, the death rate has still gone up. And that's illustrated here by these black lines, which are still going on.
Solid black now. And Peter Hotez, will cover it next hour, says, get ready, a virus 20 times worse is about to hit you and starts giggling just like Bill Gates. This is a death cult. Here's the Navy whistleblower, and we looked this up. This is a real Navy document. 900+% increase in heart failure total and a bunch of other increases. Here it is.
So in July, Undersecretary Cisneros acknowledged the DMAT data, the database working properly, and also acknowledged things such as myocarditis rising 151%. So what I did, I went in today, I'm doing the same thing, five-year average. However, I'm comparing it to 2022, and I only am using fixed-wing pilots and helicopter pilots, active duty. So we get hypertensive disease, 36%. Ischemic heart disease, 69%. Pulmonary heart disease, 62%. Heart failure, 973%. Other forms of heart disease, 63%. Cardiomyopathy, 152%.
Figured it out yet, ladies and gentlemen? And this was just a test of much more powerful stuff they're about to hit us with. We'll get to that coming up as the UN announces worldwide attempts to put lockdowns back in place. They're not playing games. Notice it's election season. They want mail-in ballots again. Investigative journalist and multi-billionaire computer company genius, Steve Kirsch, is going to be joining us to break down what's really going on. And he's got the data. He's got it all. And this is not with a faint of heart, but folks, they're going to do it on a much bigger scale imminently. I think they've already released it. And whatever they attack us with will be nothing compared to the shots we get. And they're blaming all the new viral deaths on new viruses, but we know it's the shots they've given us. We predicted that 3+ years ago. Remember, the FDA's own document in October 2000, months before it was released in the U.S., the shots predicted everything we just saw, the heart attacks, the myocarditis, the strokes, the cancer, the blood clots, just everything. So please tell everyone you know and those you don't know. Tune in now, Infowars.com/show, band.video, and any station you're listening to, tell everybody right now to tune in to hour number 2 and 3. Investigative journalist par excellence, Stephen Kirsch, is going to be joining us coming up in about 6 minutes. But I wanted to air a clip from a British remake of a 2013 program that was then reproduced here in 2000 about a secret government group creating a vaccine for mass sterilization using a protein compound. Yeah, it was hard for folks to believe that Hitler was killing millions of people, but it was true. Hard to believe Lenin and Stalin or Mao did it or Fidel Castro or Hugo Chavez, but they did. And that's the reality. But we're here trying to not repeat history. We've just been hit with a test, a beta test. The real one is coming, and I got clips of the globalists saying it's coming. Next segment with Steve Kirsch. So let's go ahead and go to a clip from the 2000 remake of Utopia. Here it is.
How much evil do you have to do good?
You desecrated all of my work. You disrespected science. What the hell did you put in that vaccine?
He created a flu that sparked the demand for a vaccine that doesn't work. After everyone in the country is vaccinated.
And the world.
He'll have murdered millions.
Nope, nope, you don't have it.
Give a certain percentage of the population a fatal illness, and you make sure it's genetic. See, that was the exciting part. You pass it down. So if you have children before you die.
And when this vaccine fails, I'll be the scapegoat.
People are driven by the need to know what happens next. Do you want to know what happens next? Your father created a world-changing, not world-ending, a world-changing, world-improving omnivirus. And we have taken that virus and embedded it in the vaccine of the Stern's flu.
I knew it.
I knew it.
Created a panic, and now everybody's begging for the vaccine.
No, demanding it.
Yes. And now we have exactly what we want. Hundreds of millions of Americans lining up, offering us their arms, and letting us give them our creation.
I'm pretty sure when every vaccinated person starts dying, they'll trace it back to undetectable virus or not.
You've all been very busy. You're all very sharp. Are you sure none of you would like to come and work for me? No? Better than dying terrible, violent death. Then understand this. What we are doing is far bigger than death.
Wait. This virus is not deadly.
It looks pretty damn deadly.
Tell me this. What have you done today to earn your place in this crowded world? Exactly. Everything I do is a cure for our current situation.
Wait, how's it a cure?
You're killing people.
I told you it does not kill. That was the amazing epiphany we had. We didn't have to kill to accomplish our goal.
We intend to stop human reproduction for 3 generations. The busy, endless global assembly line of babies will grind to a halt.
You're sterilizing people?
Uh-huh. In the first 5 years, we'll start to see major birth rate declines as teenagers vaccinated today hit their childbearing years.
You're controlling the future of human civilization.
Is that what they're calling it? It's a very nice euphemism for a species that has replicated like a contagion across the planet, killing all other species in its wake. Except things that are cute, like puppies or koalas.
You hate people that much?
On the contrary, I love people.
How? Why would
doing what our government or citizenry is too spoiled or self-indulgent to do? We are saving ourselves from ourselves.
Halting overpopulation.
100 years ago, the global population was 1.7 billion. 2011, it reached
7 billion.
people live too long, die less often.
In 2050, they say it's going to plateau.
We'll blow past 11 billion and then slowly begin to decline.
Global warming, mass extinctions, food, water shortages. All these problems can be boiled
down. See, and this is a sales job of why they're doing it to save you. While they cut the resources off and chemtrail everything and kill the planet, then they blame it on us and we willfully basically go into this and allow this to happen. So a lot of you are probably like, yeah, let's do this because you have Stockholm Syndrome. No, you're targeted too. Understand that. They're going after the West first. You're under attack by these people. They're murdering us by the millions. Well, when I've talked to so many of the top experts out there, former vice presidents of Pfizer, you name it, Dr. Michael Edon, people like Peter McCullough, they say, years ago, you got to talk to Steve Kirsch. I knew who Steve was. He's founded multiple multi-million dollar companies. He's a philanthropist, executive director of the COVID-19 Early Treatment Fund, trying to get therapeutics out when that all happened. He is a inventor of the optical mouse and one of the first internet search engines, InfoSeek. He has founded 7 high-tech companies, 2 with billion-dollar market caps. Steve is currently focused on safe and effective ways to end the pandemic. This is an old bio. He received his BS, MS, electrical engineering, computer science from MIT in 1980. Steve has been featured in 60 Minutes for his work on funding. And it just goes on from there. SteveKirsch.substack.com on Twitter, STKirsch, K-I-R-S-C-H, and on Gab, STKirsch. And he joins us now. And I've been trying to get him on for a month. He's a very busy guy. He's been testifying to Congress, legislatures, running around, really doing a great job. He sent us, look at this stack of documents. Everything he's going to say today over at Guys Wide Shot, this is what he sent us for when he talks. He wants to show the proof like any scientist does. But and we're going to skip the breaks, or at least the 2 network breaks, not local breaks for local stations, so we have more time. And he's very gracious to join us. But Steve, before you get into the 17 to 20 million dead and the insurance company numbers and what's really going on, and they're saying Disease X is coming, and I got clips of that with the big pharma spokesperson, saying, oh, it's imminent. And they're trying new lockdowns and new rollouts and new UN recommendations. And they're trying to get their treaty through. So we're in the 2.0 here. I know you like to review things first, but the New Zealand government has confirmed this guy was an administrator, the administrator, over the database, and that he found the similar numbers to what you and others found. Have you had time? Are you ready to make any statements preliminary here on this New Zealand whistleblower and how big this is?
Well, this is big, Alex. We've never been able to actually get full record level data from any state in the United States or any country in the world ever. And so this is the very first time where we have actually leaked documents. These are record level documents. These are a record every time someone gets a vaccine, every time someone dies. And so we know exactly what's going on. And we didn't get all the records, and we only got 4 million out of 12 million. But the 4 million records that we do have paints a very clear and disturbing picture that the vaccines have killed about 1 person per 1,000 doses on average over all ages, over all vaccine doses. That means in New Zealand, where they've given out somewhere on the order of 12 million of these shots, about 12,000 people lost their lives prematurely due to these vaccines. And that corresponds very closely with the excess deaths that New Zealand has been experiencing. And so the data basically matches what they've been seeing in the total all-cause mortality and totally explains why New Zealand is getting all of these excess deaths every year since they rolled out the vaccine.
Well, that was my next question. We're only 3-4 years into this. We know the FDA in October 2000 predicted this would happen. I guess it's some CIA operation. But he points out many of the deaths happened 2 weeks in the first 2 weeks. But we're also seeing long term. Is there any dead reckoning or guesstimation from your deep research on long term effects or how bad this is going to be?
Yeah, it basically people were looking for deaths happening within 1, 2, 3 weeks, 4 weeks of the vaccine and thinking that's the way the vaccine is killing people. And what the New Zealand data shows very clearly, and it's been confirmed in other countries as well when you look at their data, is that the vaccine kills people very gradually and peaks at around 6 months or so and then goes back down. It doesn't go back down to normal, though. It leaves you at an elevated risk. And we're not sure how long that will last for. But essentially, it's a delayed fuse. It basically makes you more and more likely every day that you survive after the shot, you're more likely to die than the previous day. And in fact, we have Medicare data, which is gold standard U.S. data. It's on a huge number of people. And it shows very clearly that after you get one of these vaccine shots, that your death rate goes up monotonically for 12 months, 365 days, every single day, you're more likely to die. We have never seen anything like that ever. And I mean, I have an analyst who spends their life looking at Medicare data. She's never seen anything, that analyst has never seen anything like this ever.
And as you pointed out to Congress, the coroners have never seen, and the embalmers, the undertakers are saying, we've never seen this, and these things they're pulling out of people.
No, that's true. The embalmers, everything is like upside down. Usually they'd only see maybe 10 or 15% of their cases with blood clots. Now it's like 90%. So it's flipped. It's flipped completely. It used to be a rarity. Now it's a rarity to have people who die that don't have blood clots.
Wow. Okay. You're the real expert here. And I mean, I talk to the experts and they say, talk to Steve Kirsch, because you're really a great scientist and guy that's able to crunch numbers and CEO and all of it. So I've got a million questions, but where do you want to start? I want to try to give you the floor, and then I've got some of my own questions here. And obviously, we got all the regular usual suspects, Fauci and Hotez saying, oh, disease X is here, 20 times worse. We need new lockdowns. UN recommends them in China. I mean, it's all mask or back. I mean, they're definitely, I think, if you disagree, tell me, and I hope I'm wrong, they're trying to bring back the 2.0 of what we already saw.
Yeah, so I think the most important thing is that I'm here right now in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I gave a talk in the Kirsch Auditorium at MIT last night. Now, MIT has never allowed me to talk in the auditorium essentially that I funded before because they couldn't find a faculty sponsor who would allow me to speak. But fortunately, there was a student group that invited me to speak, and so I spoke last night in my auditorium, and I gave a two-hour speech to multiple standing ovations. And that speech is now live streamed, or it was live streamed. It's now available on the internet. People can go to my Substack at kirschsubstack.com or stevekirsch.substack.com, either way. And you can look at the pinned article on my Substack and click on that and use that to view the slides, or I encourage everybody to view the two-hour video. It explains how we interpret the data, how experts interpret the data, and it shows that very clearly that this data shows that when people get the shots, they're increasing their risk of dying. And it's a nonsensical intervention. It doesn't have any benefits at all. It has only downside. It will make you more likely to die from COVID. It will make you more likely to die overall. It does not protect you from hospitalization or infections. It is a complete disaster. I mean, people, like, if you're holding Moderna stock, this would be a perfect time to sell your Moderna stock. And if you want to be more aggressive, you should short your Moderna stock, because this company is going down. We tried to show them the data. We said we have safety data. We want to check with you before we go public on it. The safety data shows very clearly the vaccines are killing people. Do you want to see the data? And they said, no. We do not want to see the data. We approached, and it wasn't me, by the way. It was a very well-respected medical journalist who approached Moderna and Pfizer asking them if they wanted to see the data, and they said no. This is typical. They do not want to see anything that could show that their vaccines are killing people, because if they did, they would be forced to take it off the market. Otherwise, they'd be criminally charged for criminal negligence or corporate negligence for not taking action on this very clear safety data. So now we have authenticated records from the New Zealand Ministry of Health that They have not said these are fraudulent records. They said this is a legitimate leak. These are our records. And now we have the records. We've never had any records ever before that of this level. This is gold standard.
By the way, shouldn't this whistleblower be in a safe house? This is big. They admit he was the main administrator. This is absolutely the Death Star plans.
Yeah, so I don't know what his current location is, he's still alive. And he said, well, I couldn't view your tweets. It was blocked. And I couldn't view your Substack because your Substack is blocked in New Zealand as well. So what they're doing is they're trying to...
Start over. Your Skype cut out for a minute, Steve Kirsch. Who were you talking to that told you they were blocked? It cut out for 5 seconds.
Yeah, I talked to the leaker.
Oh, wow.
And he said he wasn't able to view my Substack because my Substack was apparently blocked in New Zealand. So I don't know, what's going on. But it seems like they're resorting to censorship and trying to hope that people don't get the information as their way of countering this.
Absolutely. Please continue.
Yeah, so, anybody... this data is now available for anyone to download and analyze. We have the original data. It's been anonymized, so we don't run into any privacy issues or HIPAA violations. But it's been anonymized in a way so that we maintain the statistical fidelity of the data. In other words, we time shifted all the dates relative to each other, but the dates relative to each other are the same. We just shifted them slightly in time, so that we can still do the statistical analysis without violating anyone's privacy. So all that data is available for people to download. We have the data analysis tools to create the time series cohort analysis, so anyone can do that. You can then dump that into a spreadsheet. We created a spreadsheet that makes it easy to analyze and visualize, and you can see the visualizations of all four independent variables, and you can see that, yes, as you vary all four independent variables, the results are the same, which means there isn't something going on in the background. This is being caused by the vaccine. There is no doubt. And we have data from other countries, such as the U.S. Medicare and the Maldives, that confirm the effects that when you inject these things, what happens is your risk of death increases monotonically after you get the shots. And there is no doubt about it. This has been confirmed by top epidemiologist Harvey Risch. One of the top epidemiologists in the world has confirmed this and said, boy, if it wasn't the vaccine that caused this, I haven't got a clue as to what else could cause it, because it's all temporally related to the vaccine.
Well, Steve Kirsch, let me stop you. You're a famous guy, like the MIT, big auditorium is named after you. You just spoke there. The point is, people don't know who you are. You're a respected engineer and scientist. And I want you to continue to have the floor here and get into all the death numbers and where this is going. But just as a citizen, as a human, politically, what does this mean? Clearly, they didn't get away with it. It's blowing up everywhere. We're not forgetting about it. They're trying to bring in a new disease, a new fear to cover up what they did before. I don't see that working. Just as a personal, individual guesstimation, speculation, not you as a researcher, scientist, or journalist, what's going on? What do you expect to happen? What is this moment in time?
Wow. That's a great question, Alex, and I wish I had a crystal ball. But, I've been pretty disappointed with the reaction in Congress, because Congress basically doesn't want to have to admit that they gave people a kill shot, because it was Congress that enables this stuff to happen. It's the White House that enables this stuff to happen. It's the medical community that enables this.
Let's be honest. Trump is part of this. Trump is part of this.
Absolutely. And he's not speaking out. He has an opportunity. Trump has an opportunity right now. This is his moment. This is Trump's moment. He can go and he can look the other way and say, I'm ignoring this. I created the vaccine. I'm going to ignore this because this is a third rail for me. And so he may go and say, I'm not going to even touch this. That would be a very irresponsible thing to do. The data is out now. Everyone can see it. It's in plain sight. The curve, the death curve goes the wrong way. The death curve is supposed to go down. After you give people a vaccine and you look at how people die after the vaccine, it always goes down. It slopes down. This thing slopes up, and it slopes up. It's like got a 26% increase in the first 365 days after getting the shot. That is unprecedented. It's supposed to be sloping down by, this is in Medicare, it's supposed to be sloping down by 4% after a year. You know, that is a difference of 30%. That is insane. You know, Trump should be saying, hey, I made a mistake. These shots should be recalled if he's an honest politician.
I agree. And I don't like Trump overall. He's being persecuted, but he never wants to admit he's wrong. And it's a pigheadedness.
That's right.
That's a strength and a weakness. And we know they brought it to him. He wanted to get things going. He backed all the therapeutics too. They tricked him, but now he's had plenty of time, and it's very, very sad. Okay, big picture. What's the real numbers? I see insurance numbers and Edward Dowd and his whistleblowers and insurance company experts, 17 million dead, 20 million dead. From your research, I know you've testified to Congress, you name it, you're really good at nailing this down. What has happened from these shots?
Consistently, we are seeing a death signal that averages about one death per 1,000 doses. We have given over 13 billion doses worldwide. That means 13 million people lost their lives at the hands of their own government. It is like the biggest mass murder. I don't know what you call it, murder, but it's definitely mass manslaughter event that I'm aware of, certainly in history. And in the United States of America, our government is responsible for the slaughter of about 675,000 people. I mean, that's
just
huge.
So far. So where do we get the numbers of 17 to 20 that I see Malone putting out and others? I guess you're being very conservative.
Yeah, so there are other researchers that use different techniques to make estimates, and they're all coming in at the same ballpark. You know, they're all coming in at somewhere on the order of one death per 1,000 doses. Some people estimate a little bit more. Some people estimate a little bit less. But it's on the order of magnitude of one per 1,000. And so we're looking at, you know, it's kind of like...
Yeah, this is like nuclear war level deaths. I mean, this is insane.
Yeah, this is huge. This is huge. And it's being perpetrated by our own governments. Our own governments are killing people on the premise that this is going to save lives. And what they're actually doing is they're shortening people's lives. He said, Alex, this is why we have all of these unexpected deaths. You know, we have Mark Crispin Miller has documented over 10,000 excess. These are died suddenly events, over 10,000 died suddenly events. It is off the charts. And of course, Ed Dowd wrote this book called Cause Unknown. And Ed Dowd documented 500 people who died cause unknown. One person out of the 500 was found not to be vaccinated. One person out of the 500 was not vaccinated. I mean, that is insane. People need to wake up. This is happening in front of people. And, you know, look, Rasmussen Reports did a survey. They're one of the most highly respected pollsters in America. You know, if you look at their accuracy record, they have been like in the top five very consistently. And they polled the American people, and they found out that 25% of Americans know someone who died from the vaccine. That's incredible. But the other thing is that 42% of Americans polled would want to join a class action lawsuit against the pharmaceutical companies. 42% want to join a class action. Like, that is buyer remorse of an unprecedented.
This is definitely blood on their face. So I want to get into hard numbers and how we stop this and how we move forward. But what do you make of Fauci and Hotez and all of them saying, hey, forget the last pandemic, something 20 times worse, disease X is coming. Just you know, the UN calling, you know, for new lockdowns. I mean, it looks like they're trying to cover up what they did with the new crisis. Any take on that?
Oh, yeah. You know, whenever I try to debate anybody on this topic, the first thing that they do whenever I bring up any of these issues, like, you know, here's what the data shows, is they change the topic. What about this? Hey, what about Sweden? What about this? What about the, you have a confounder here. What about this? And it's like, no, but I asked you a straight question. And instead of answering the question, it's all about, you know, what a magician does, which is divert your attention to something else while the trickery is going on. So this is the game that they play. They basically try to divert your attention from focusing on what's important. And what's important right now is that these vaccines, there is this New Zealand data erased all doubt. When I saw this New Zealand data, this was like the Rosetta Stone, finding the Rosetta Stone. I could finally decipher everything that was happening because it confirmed everything I was seeing.
By the way, when you were on my show about a year ago, you've been on since then, I remember you saying we've yet to get the overview 35,000-foot total government data. All we have is the side data. You kept saying we need the government data. You finally got it.
I finally got the government data. And, of course, they've been hiding this data. This record-level data could have been released by any government anytime without any issues. And whenever you went and you approached the government and said, hey, I'd like to get this data anonymized, da-da-da-da-da, they stop talking to you. They do not. And look, I've searched the peer-reviewed literature. There is no paper in the peer-reviewed literature that says health outcomes are improved if we withhold public health information from the public. This information is collected at public expense. This information belongs to the public. The public has a right to know, and all of these people are keeping this data secret. They are not letting it out. Not only that, Alex, but the important thing is they're not only not letting it out, but they're not analyzing it themselves. Like, we did it wasn't me, but it was a former, he's a former general counsel for the California Department of Public Health. This is an insider. He basically sent a Freedom of Information Act request to his old department saying, hey, I want to see any documents showing that you've analyzed the safety data of this vaccine. And he got back nothing. There were no responsive documents, which means even California, you know, the fifth largest economy in the world, they're not even looking at their own data. And when I sent an email message saying, hey, this New Zealand data is troubling. You guys should look at your own data. I got no response at all. These people are deliberately ignoring, looking at their own data and analyzing it to see if there's a safety signal. And the CDC cannot do that analysis because the CDC simply doesn't have people's vaccination dates. So the CDC cannot determine whether a vaccine is safe. It's up to the states. The states aren't doing it because the CDC told them it's safe, so there's no reason for them to go and look at the data. So we have, it's like a catch-22 here. The CDC says it's safe, but they don't have the data to actually find out whether it's safe or not.
Steve Kirsch, incredible info. Stay right there. Back in just a few minutes. Steve Kirsch, at Steve Kirsch on Twitter. Stay with us. Well, Steve Kirsch is an IT genius, engineer, philanthropist. He just spoke at Harvard at the facility that he literally was the philanthropist that built. And before they wouldn't have him there. Now they are. That shows there's a breakthrough. People are getting it. But I've noticed when I've interviewed him 5-6 times the last 3 years, he doesn't like to speculate. But I think the speculation, there is no speculation now. This is a global program, a biomedical takeover. I don't think there's any doubt they knew this was going on. They're certainly covering it up now and trying to still push the shots on children. You have Canada recommending 2 shots for, you know, children below the age of 6 months. So Steve, I can ask a lot of questions here, and I want you to go through the numbers. I know you sent us your big presentation you did at Harvard. If you want to cover some of that, I know it took 2 hours to cover there. People can find it on your Substack, stevekirsch.substack.com. But just as a person, again, I go back to that. What do you think they did this for, or is that something you're not ready to get into?
Yeah, you know, I don't like to speculate because I like to talk about things that I have hard evidence on. And there's not a smoking gun that I have seen that shows that this was done deliberately to kill people. So nobody has produced a smoking gun evidence that about intent. And so without that smoking gun evidence, I think it's the most reasonable assumption is that a lot of people are fooled by this. A lot of people thought that they were saving people with these shots. And most people in the world don't have the ability to know how to analyze this record level data, even if you gave it to them. And so people are basically trusting experts who they believe have looked at the record level data and analyzed it. And the reality is,
sure, I understand that. I'm going to shut up in a moment. All I'm saying is, if they didn't know before, they certainly know now, though. They're covering it up.
Oh, they certainly know now. Certainly the New Zealand Ministry of Health officials know that there was a leaker. The leaker said that, I looked at the data, and the data is showing these very significant safety signals, and you should look at this.
But isn't that what British said? The British said that 3+ years ago when they first started it. They even said, we've got safety signals. What was called a yellow card?
Yeah, yellow card system, which is equivalent to, in the U.S., it's called the VAERS system, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. So all of these systems, like at the CDC, the VAERS system was showing, they have these sort of alarm bells. And the alarm bells goes off if there is a fire, if there's, I'm using an analogy here. If there's a fire in one of the rooms, the alarm will go off for that room. If there's a fire in another room, the alarm goes off for that room. So each of the rooms is a different a severe adverse event. And so something like a pulmonary embolism or a heart attack or a cardiac arrest or cerebral hemorrhage, all of this stuff, they shouldn't be hearing any alarm bells.
They're ignoring the alarm bells. So I'm going to stop asking questions. I'm going to try to shut up. We're going to skip this break coming up. You've got the floor to cover whatever you want. You have this huge thing at MIT. Where do you want to go next?
Well, there were 770 safety signals that were ignored by the CDC. So we're talking by a safety signal. I don't mean one person had an event. I mean that the basic statistical analysis said that there are 770 different adverse events that are triggering safety signals. This is like, fire broke out in every office at the CDC at the same time. So what they did is they ignored it. And the only way we even found out about this is because someone gave them a Freedom of Information Act request and got the spreadsheet showing 770 safety signals were triggered. Now, the CDC had a duty to the American people to report that, to say, hey, looks like we got a problem here. We're going to be investigating these to see how real these are. But these are this is our own safety signal system, and it's being triggered 770 times. They should have warned Americans about that, and they chose to do nothing. They didn't even talk about it. They didn't even say that there was one safety signal or 10 safety signals. They said absolutely nothing. They completely hid it until there's a Freedom of Information Act request that revealed all the alarm bells were going off. The CDC has chosen to ignore that even after they responded to the FOIA request and admitted there were 770 safety signals. They never said anything to the press about it. I mean, this is a very corrupt organization, Alex. And this organization is responsible for hundreds of thousands of American lives, and they should be criminally prosecuted for that.
You got 1,000 points. Please continue.
It's kind of like this. It's just such a violation of the public trust. And it's not just the CDC and the FDA doing this. This is happening in every country in the world, that the health officials are violating the public trust by refusing to look at their own data. Because if they did that, they would see the same thing that we found in New Zealand. And Alex, it takes about 15 minutes of effort to do that. You basically dump your data into a CSV file. You run it using software that we provide for free. It's listed on my Substack. You can run the software. The software can take a couple of hours to run. You put in 5 minutes of effort just to start to write the one-line command line to start this little Python program that goes through the data and analyzes and spits out some data files. You then import those data files into an Excel spreadsheet, which has all the formulas so you can do all of the analysis on that data instantly, and you can see whether the vaccine is safe or not. And in every single case where we have looked at the record level data, the vaccine is unsafe. Every single country, no exceptions. Israel, Israel, Maldives, United States of America, New Zealand, and New Zealand had one of the best data collection in the world in terms of this. So there is no doubt anymore. These vaccines are killing machines. And it's been validated by top epidemiologists and top experts in risk management, such as Professor Norman Fenton, who is the only guy in the world to be able to look at the UK ONS data, which is the Office of National Statistics. And it was Norman Fenton that said, your data is flawed. And the UK Office of National Statistics said, you are correct. Our data is flawed. Thank you for pointing that out. So Norman Fenton is the expert. He's the undisputed expert in looking at this data. And Norman Fenton looked at the New Zealand data, and he said, this removes all doubt. These are killing machines.
I said I'd shut up, but what do you expect the establishment, the biomedical UN globalist Bill Gates thing to do now if this is out?
No, they'll continue to dig in. They'll double down. They'll say he's spreading misinformation. And the press will not investigate. The press will not download the code. Press will not download the data. The press will not look at the data. The press will just parrot whatever they are told by the government. We don't have an independent press anymore. The press is basically working for the government to promote the false narrative that these vaccines are safe and effective. And the press, look, like this New Zealand data, do you see any mainstream media or even alt media for that matter downloading the data and doing the analysis?
No, they won't even say his name. They just say, yeah, he was the director of this. Yeah, he was the administrator, but we're not going to talk about
it. Yeah, right. But, you know, the data is out, and mainstream or non-mainstream news media, there should be a reporter that is downloading this data using the tools that we supplied. And if you don't like our tools, you can write your own tools. You can validate. We have a test suite, so you can validate our tools. Use the tools, do the analysis. You will find the same thing that we found. You will find that these vaccines are killing people, and there is not a single news organization in the world doing that right now.
And Steve, this is a big point just made. And
you can't make this stuff up, Alex.
No, you're right, Steve. Steve, most people got your point, but let's just slow down and say that again. They're not denying the data is real. They're just saying his interpretation's wrong. So we have all over the New Zealand news, they go, we're removing him. Yeah, he was the administrator. His interpretation's wrong. So everybody should go check to see if it's right. And as you said, it's very easy to look. Hey, a couple hundred people took it and 50-something people died. I mean, it's right there.
It's right there, Alex, in black and white. And not a single news organization is downloading the data and doing the analysis on it. Not one single organization, not even the Epic Times, is looking at this data. I mean, this is incredible. We have never seen such a news blackout on something this big ever. Nobody wants to touch this data because they know if they touch the data, they're going to have to admit they're wrong. And they are not going to touch the data. They're not going to look at the greatest whistleblower dump ever in history that shows 13 million people have died. They don't want to look at the data. What does that tell you, Alex? It's authentic data. It's the best data in the world, and not a single news media organization wants to look at it.
Wow. I've watched you a lot and had you on. I've never seen you so animated. I'm animated too, Steve. So I mean, this is what this comes down to. I don't think they're going to be able to hide this, though. And what about as more whistleblowers in other countries that are administrators find their soul again and decide to release that? I have a really good feeling this is going to be the beginning of the end. What do you think?
Oh, it will be. I'm talking to people in the Philippines. They're going to get the data and expose it. There's nothing that's going to stop them from doing that. It's happening now. There are other things happening in other places that I don't want to talk about, but this thing is going, and there's no way to stop it. And you see, the first newspaper that actually, you know, one of these guys is going to play chicken, and they're going to go and look at the data and publish the story saying, whoa, this data shows that we're killing people. And then the other news organizations are either going to go and play, okay, now wait a minute, what side of history do we want to be on? Do we want to keep covering this up? Because this is coming down. There's no way to stop this. This is out now.
And Steve,
this data is out for everyone to see.
And Steve, I don't think I know. I'm going to leave it at that. Elon Musk, you know, brother almost died. A bunch of crew got sick. Joe Rogan, they threatened him. He's seen the data. He's awake. Tucker Carlson, no, you're talking to Tucker, as he told me you are, but off record, I'm already put on record. The point is that we, no one wants to admit this because it's so horrible, but it's the truth. And so it's already happened. And the genie's out of the bottle. And I think the establishment needs to know that tipping point was already crossed months ago, where what you just said, more and more journalists that are even mainstream are going to go, whoa, this is too obvious. I'm not signing on to mass murder. You know, my uncle was in Iran-Contra, high level, and did a lot of stuff that he said he shouldn't have done in Vietnam. I don't know the details, but it was pretty dirty stuff. And I've worked for the CIA. And then he saw stuff so bad in Guatemala. It was the trafficking of kids out of orphanages that he got out and, you know, did some things. But he's dead now. But the point is, he said there's a point you reach where you're doing it for the greater good and you've lied to yourself, but the evil becomes so bad, so obvious, you have to break with it. And he said everybody comes to that Darth Vader moment with Emperor Palpatine decides to throw him down the reactor shaft. And I think we've already reached that point, Steve.
Yeah. This New Zealand data was the tipping point here. There is no going back. Somebody is going besides me and the people who follow me. Someone is going to go and download this data and look at it and discover the same thing, because there's only one way to analyze this data. And, you know, what's supposed to happen is, like, here's a mouse here. If I let go of this mouse, it is going to fall down every single time. This is what the data does. People die after they get the shots, and they die, and the death counts go lower and lower and lower each day after you get a shot on average. I mean, it's kind of like the law of gravity here. People die, and people die at a rate that's proportional.
Yeah, if a drug works, if a drug works, a drug works. But if you take a drug and death explodes, it's very obvious.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is an event that's as clear as, hey, when I drop this, it's going to fall. Okay. But if I let go and it went up, you say, whoa, there's something wrong. And that's exactly the effect that you're seeing here. It is so obvious. It is obvious as the difference between letting go of this and it drops versus letting go of this and it falls in the other direction. It falls up. That is how obvious it is when you look at this data. There is no other way to interpret this data other than the vaccines are killing machines. You can't do it. And Harvey Risch, he's got an H index of 110, which makes him like one of the most cited epidemiologists of all time, or at least in the world today. He's one of the most cited epidemiologists and most respected. He looked at this data. He says, like, there's no way that that these deaths are caused by anything other than the vaccine. So you can't get much better than that. And nobody, no other epidemiologist is going to look at the data. I mean, I offered it to people like Martin Kulldorff, epidemiologist from Harvard. He wouldn't look at the data.
By the way, let me interrupt you, Steve Kirsch, because I've been trying to get you on for a month about all the other findings. This just broke in the last 48 hours or so. So I'm just guessing. Explain to us, because I know the lawyers involved in New Zealand said we're putting it out with the public. You're an engineer, so you're able to see. I'm guessing you're able to look at the downloads and see who's downloading it and nobody's touching it?
I have no idea who's downloading it, right?
Because the point is they're not reporting on it.
Nobody's coming out. Nobody's calling me and asking me, questions about the data.
Because usually the media calls you with questions, and you're saying even the Epoch Times is not calling you.
The Epoch Times, there was a reporter assigned. He's not even called me. Not a phone call from the Epoch Times.
And again, I want to be clear. All the major New Zealand newspapers, I've already got like five of them here, are all saying, yes, it's real data. Yes, he was the administrator of it, but we have a different interpretation. Well, then now they admit it. Let's have a debate about it. And the fact that they're silent, that tells you everything you know.
Yeah, because look, where's their epidemiologist? Where is their interpretation? Where is their cohort time series dump so we can see it? Look, the UK did their dump. We know exactly what their time series shows in New Zealand because we have their data. Why don't you release your interpretation of the data? They're not doing that. Their epidemiologists are saying nothing, and they're trying to dispute this whistleblower by saying, oh, well, he's mistaken. But you don't discredit somebody by saying, oh, they're mistaken. You discredit someone by showing us your analysis.
Well, that's right. If somebody says water boils at a certain temp and they're wrong, you put it on the stove with a thermometer and you show them. So let me ask you this. You've talked to the whistleblower without getting out any too much inside baseball. How is he doing? Any other information about that?
Well, he's hoping that people will pay attention because he basically sacrificed his career and possibly his life for doing this. Like he could, I don't know if they're going to try to put him in jail for the rest of his life for doing this, for exposing the truth that the New Zealand Ministry of Health hasn't been looking at the data. In New Zealand.
Steve, stay there. Hold on. Steve, stay there. Your Skype just broke. You just broke up for 5 seconds. The last thing you said is that he doesn't know they're going to put him in jail and your Skype cut out.
Yeah, so he doesn't know whether this is his last days of freedom and they're going to try to put him in jail for the rest of his life. And so all he wants is for people to download the data and analyze it for themselves because the New Zealand Ministry of Health is not doing the analysis on the data. They're not showing us. They need to show us the time series cohort analysis that proves the vaccines are safe. And they can't do that because it shows the vaccines are unsafe. That is why they have to resort to name-calling and ad hominem attacks on this guy, as opposed to saying, look, here's the correct analysis. Here it is. They're saying, no, we're not going to even show you the analysis. Just trust us. The vaccine is safe. We haven't found anybody who died, and we're not looking at the data, and you can't make us look at the data. You know, it's like, we're not going to go look at the data.
That's like you pull up. That's like you're supposed to be out of town on a business trip, and you decide to come home early, and you pull up, and there's a guy's car in the driveway, and you see your wife and them run in the bedroom. You open the door, you come knock on the door, and you go, honey, I know he's in there. It's okay. I forgive you. And she goes, trust me. There's no one in here. Go away. You know the man's in the bedroom. I mean.
Yeah. And they know it, too, because they said the whistleblower notified them. Hey, look, why are all of these unexplained deaths happening? Why are when in this vaccination center? Why did everybody die, within 2 years after they got the shot? Who got the shot in this vaccination center? Everybody dying? I mean, how do you explain that? And then they're like, nah, we don't want to look at the data. We're just going to go, and our strategy will be to focus on telling the press that this guy is spreading misinformation and the vaccines are perfectly safe, but we're not going to release the data to anybody to have it independently verified, and we're not going to look at the data ourselves.
Steve Kirsch,
force us to look at the data.
Is it not fair to say? Hubris. Go ahead. Sorry.
Beyond belief.
Sorry. Go ahead.
It's hubris beyond belief to tell people, no, trust us. It's just like your example of that. There's nobody in the house. Trust me.
So there's a lot of benchmarks in life, and they're trying to roll out a new COVID tyranny and a new hysteria right now. That's official. I'll cover it after you leave. But to me, this is a marker. Like, really, today, this is breaking everywhere. It broke, a day and a half ago. I think December 1st, Friday, December 1st, 2023, you can really put a fork in the whole cub and dub it, a narrative. I mean, I've got a gut level, you know, instinctive view of this, and the way this is exploding right now, despite their censorship, I think this is going to trigger other whistleblowers. I think the goose is cooked. What do you think?
Oh, I think this is the little, I'll call it the straw that broke the camel's back here, that this release from this very courageous whistleblower, this is the moment. This is the tipping point, because there is no way they can hide from this data. Anyone can analyze this data. They've authenticated the data. Anyone can analyze it, and you will find that the death rate, the mortality rate goes up after you get the shot. Some, depending on what shot you get and how old you are, those death rates can go monotonically up for 12 months, or it could peak at around 6 months and then start falling down. And of course, this now explains why, when we have, you know, like Asim Malhotra's dad, he died 6 months after the shot. An MIT professor, Paul Lagasse, he got the shot. He died 6 months after the shot. He died in his own swimming pool. I mean, these people.
How many Canadian doctors that are like 35, 40 have died? It's ridiculous.
It's insane. The death in plain sight, and people are what the people who support the vaccine are doing is saying, oh, no, it's perfectly normal to have all these unexpected deaths.
All these high school kids dying, totally normal.
Yeah. You know, three-year-olds with heart attacks, perfectly normal. I mean, they're trying to normalize this stuff. I mean, I get messages from people in hospitals saying, hey, we've never seen so many, you know, cardiac issues and premature births and all this, like, in history. But I can't talk about it on the record because I'd be fired. And I don't want to lose my job, and I can't afford to lose my job, so I got to remain silent. So you can't say anything. I do too.
Well, that's what this was a corruption of the medical system. Get them to do it, then you corrupt them. Steve Kirsch, incredible. I know you're a busy guy. Thank God you're there. Out of all the people fighting tyranny in this, you are one of the leading, you know, top people, and we appreciate your courage and everything. I know you don't care about vindication because you're doing the right thing, but you are totally vindicated. They can follow you at Twitter at STKirsch. And obviously at stevekirsch.substack.com. Steve, thank you so much. Join us again soon. Whenever you've got time, you tell us you're on the show. I know you're a busy man. God bless you.
Yeah. Thanks, Alex. So I'm headed to the House of Commons in the UK. I've been invited to speak there. So hopefully we'll spread the message there, and then I'll be appearing on Russell Brand's show in the UK.
Beautiful. Be safe, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Guys, that's a real badass. That's a, you know, guy, billionaire, founder, the guy that invented the mouse, all of it. And he's fighting the tyrants. He's not the bad guys. He's the good guy. We got a lot of good guys and good women like him. Wow. Man, thank God for this whistleblower. Pray for him. They're going to try to kill him. All right, I'm going to host a little bit in the fourth hour, and the guest host takes over, Jay Dyer. But I've got more to say because they're rolling out the next big COVID tyranny. Steve Kirsch knocked it out of the park. What a broadcast. The disappeared Malaysian flight, one of the biggest mysteries ever. Now we're learning more. We have the intrepid crew here, Harrison Smith, Ashton Forbes, an incredible journalist, and more, with government data, satellite video, and more. Greg Reese followed a report on this last week. Let's play that first and dive into it.
Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 disappeared on March 8, 2014. On May 19th, about 9 weeks later, a leaked video was published to YouTube by a third party who claimed to have received it on March 12th. The video shows what appears to be a jet airliner on fire, being trailed by three spiraling orbs. Eventually, the three orbs change to a vertical pattern and disappear in a flash with the airliner, leaving a dead-end trail of smoke in the sky. A month later, on June 12th, a second video was published to the same channel that showed the exact same event taken from a different viewpoint. These videos have been deleted from YouTube, but can still be found on archive.org. Ashton Forbes and his team have been researching these videos extensively and have provided exhaustive evidence that these videos are legitimate, including digital forensics verified by CGI professionals, eyewitnesses, and government data. Forbes and his team have successfully addressed all debunker claims and have listed them for all to see on X.com at Just X Ashton. So far, nobody has been able to debunk this research.
Their research shows that the first leaked video was taken from a pair of American Signals Intelligence satellites known as USA-229, twin satellites capable of creating 3D stereoscopic images by capturing two slightly different views. The twin USA-229 satellites are logged at the exact location, time, and apparent angle required to have captured this video. This event occurred at around 2:30 in the morning. It was completely dark. The wavelengths captured by these cameras are for detail, and the stereoscopic effect allows for added depth perception. The source of the second video has been identified as an MQ-1C Gray Eagle unmanned combat drone with infrared and thermal technology. This video focuses on the heat signature. And the man responsible for leaking these videos seems to be Lieutenant Commander Edward Lynn. He was accused of being a spy, but court transcripts prove that this was just spin. The details of his crimes, including the time they happened, are redacted. But it came out in the trial that the classified information in question was published on the internet. And Lieutenant Commander Edward Lynn had full security clearance to the same technology used to capture these videos. Using Inmarsat satellite ping data and military radar to track its path, and eyewitness testimony to verify it, Forbes put together the final flight path of Malaysian Airlines Flight 370. On March 7th at 16:42 UTC, Flight 370 takes off from Kuala Lumpur International Airport. At 17:21, the plane abruptly turns back towards the nearest airport in Penang. A witness on an oil rig reported that the plane was on fire. Several witnesses along the East Coast reported hearing a loud bang and seeing a glow coming from the plane as it passed overhead. At 17:52, the co-pilot's mobile phone pings the local tower. At 18:40, an eyewitness on a boat reported that the plane was glowing orange and appeared on fire. The Inmarsat ping data shows the same sharp left turn that we see in the videos, and then abruptly goes to zero as the plane disappears. The CCP released Chinese satellite images that appear to be three orbs. They first claimed it was debris and later said that releasing the image was a mistake. According to Chinese media, 19 families have signed a statement claiming they made calls that connected to missing passengers after the disappearance, but without an answer. Some people are saying this was alien UFOs saving a plane from crashing, but this doesn't explain the fact that three different advanced U.S. military surveillance cameras captured this one event. 23 of the passengers on board were related to Freescale Semiconductors, a field leading the development of superconductor technology, which is what this appears to be, some type of superconductor targeting system for teleportation, which is reminiscent of what the Nazis were doing with their highly classified Die Glock project. Luminous objects like this were first reported in May of 1940 as Germany invaded Belgium. And by 1942, several people began reporting them, starting in the skies over Germany. American pilots during World War II called them Foo Fighters. And let's not forget Gary McKinnon, who in 2002 was accused of perpetrating the biggest military computer hack of all time, and who claimed to have seen evidence of an advanced off-world military fleet. Greg Reese reporting.
All right, I'm going to give Harrison Smith, host of American Journal, the floor on this interview. Ashton Forbes has done this groundbreaking research. Greg Reese did a great job boiling it down. You want to see the report? It's at band.video. We'll put it back on screen real quick so I can give radio listeners the headline. Malaysian Airlines Flight 370 captured by unknown forces. Folks, we're not in the year 2023. We're in the year 2050, 2060. That's why the globalists are so arrogant. They've got some timetable to get rid of us. You've got Jared Kushner saying he's about to live forever and be a god. They have all these other weird statements. I'll leave it at that. But some major investigative journalists who are household names are looking into this. This is big. Something big's coming. So, Harrison, I already was going to cover this last week, and then I got busy. It was after the holiday, and I saw Greg Reese's report. I wanted to get Ashton Forbes on, and I was up here last night working when you had him on, filling in for Owen, who's in prison for free speech. I said, you guys got to come on. So introduce this and let's bring Ash and Forbes in.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I am still very much a novice on this whole topic. And once you see how much information there is to know about this, I've spent quite a while looking into all of this, and I'm still just barely scratching the surface. So Ashton Forbes is the expert on this. He's put all this together, and you can actually find, what, this is 12, 13 pages of bullet point information on his Twitter account, his X account, Just X Ashton. And he broke it down yesterday, and truly, it was one of the most mind-blowing interviews we've ever done on InfoWars, and got a huge response from the listeners, I know.
And Greg Reese is really good. Not just believe, he went in and checked all the satellite and all of it and double checked it. It all links up.
And that's what I did too. Went through some of the debunking videos. None of that was convincing. There's so many still unanswered questions about this one way and the other. But the takeaway is there is no official story here. I mean, there is no official account of what happened because there's been no debris field found. The official story is it's gone.
And why do you have all this surveillance, you know, around at the time that they've confirmed what's happening? You try to say, well, the videos are fake, but how would they put that out first and link it up with the time of surveillance? So Ashton Forbes, good to have you here. Tell us about yourself a little bit. And then let's dive into, kind of give it to us at a, 10 foot level, then pull up to the 30,000 foot.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to thank Harrison and Alex, both of you guys, for having me on. I have a quick prepared statement that I'd like to read here, which is that people told me not to come onto this platform, but people have also told other people not to talk to me. This is a movement where we don't base our opinions on what other people tell us to think. They want to divide us and we want to unify us. I want to talk to anybody who's willing to listen with an open mind. The only side I'm on is the side of truth. We are doing this to vindicate the families, the pilot, the witnesses, and the leaker. All of my FOIAs have been blocked. The government has never fought against a movement like this before. We don't need to fear them. They need to fear us. To Speaker Mike Johnson, put me in front of Congress with Burchett, Luna, Moshowitz, and Gates, and we will rip the truth from the FBI, NCIS, NRO, CIA, and every three-letter agency. My message to those agencies is do not underestimate us. My message to everybody else is follow a path of your own choosing and do it all yourself. This is MH370X.
And let me just add, you've got this new office they're trying to set up in Congress to get all the UFO data because the agencies themselves say there's a rogue group outside of government that won't give them all this data. That's all confirmed right now. And this ties right into that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that I've been trying to back channel with some of these congressmen as well, and that there's not a lot of appetite for another UAP hearing. And I would say to them, we don't need another UAP hearing. We need a conspiracy hearing into what happened to this plane. We are serving everything up on a silver platter here for them. When we uncover this conspiracy, we will also go ahead and uncover the reverse engineering program that these third-party companies like Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, are guilty of and potentially using taxpayer money in black budget programs that they have misappropriated.
All right, give us the boil down and then let's reverse engineer it from there. Well, from your best research, what's going on? Is this alien technology? Is it human technology? What happened to the plane? And then we'll back through there.
Yeah, okay. So the reason why we believe this is human technology is that everything in the evidence points to a situation where this is the U.S. government intervening with a plane that is potentially doomed. This plane takes off from Kuala Lumpur, just like Greg Reese's reporting, goes dark at 1721 UTC because a lithium-ion battery fire breaks out. There's a Wired article that actually talks about a fire scenario from an electrical fire. They just didn't realize that it's really the 500 pounds of lithium-ion batteries in the cargo hold that are what lit up. And this is what caused the pilots to turn around and go to Penang Langkawi International Airport. This is corroborated by the witnesses along the coast, Mike McKay, who loses his job over his sighting. It's corroborated as well by fishermen who are on a boat 10 miles off as well that see this plane flying low. This is not a scenario where it's a pilot suicide. The pilot is flying low because if the plane's depressurized, you need to give the passengers enough oxygen. The Malaysian Minister of Defense is one of the worst liars I've ever seen. I urge everybody watching to go watch his interviews. He admits that the plane was unidentified, but then contradicts himself and says that they know that the plane was a civilian airliner and not hostile. They won't explain why they won't send jets up. And the only answer that makes any sense is the scenario we've put forth. It's an emergency event fire scenario. They know they didn't need to send jets up. And then potentially the U.S. government takes control. They can't land in Penang for whatever reason, either because the landing gear or the runway lights are off, or that it was not safe to land, either due to the landing gear being damaged from the fire, or they were unable to dump the fuel. whatever reason, they don't land in Penang and they fly out to the Andaman Sea. This is where the witness sees the plane glowing orange, not necessarily consistent with being on fire, but with them battling the fire using this halon fire extinguishing devices that release bromine, a halogen gas. She sees it with no navigation lights flying low. She sees two other planes that are at cruising altitude with their lights on. It could very well be the AWACS that the French dad was told about in the Netflix documentary.
Yeah, so it takes off, it's on fire, it turns back, for some reason it can't go there, goes out to sea, and then you've got the payload with these key U.S. CIA chip makers. This is really gets weird at that point. And we know they were on board.
Yeah, and so we've got these Freescale semiconductor scientists on board. And the answer here is it all lines up, or why are you covering up this lithium-ion battery fire scenario? And the answer is that we have this advanced technology that we deployed to either save these engineers. Maybe they are directly tied to the technology we see in those orbs, this room temperature superconductivity. We find the 2005 NSA security report linking this company.
Which, by the way, South Korea just came out and confirmed they have room temperature conductivity.
Yeah, LK99, right? And this is one of the missing pieces that we needed to understand these videos to be real. So in 2014, we couldn't understand these videos to be real. We didn't know about LK99, the potential emergence of metamaterials that could create room temperature superconductivity. We didn't realize how advanced AI can be in computer programs, or which are potentially needed for these orbs to map the plane. We didn't know about the satellite capabilities in SBIRS system because Trump didn't leak that picture until 2019 when he posted it on Twitter. We didn't even know what FLIR potentially looked like until 2017 when the DOD, Navy, UAP videos were declassified. So without all of this stuff, we could not understand these videos to be real. It might be that only now our collective consciousness has risen to a point where we could actually look at this footage and go, yes, this is actually authentic.
Continue with the boil down, then we'll get into the details. But this is, okay. I mean, when you look at the key scientists on board and then this matching up with the satellites and this footage that got released and all of it, I mean, this is insane.
Yeah, so we find that the SBIRS system is a computer-generated 3D video playback like Google Earth, but for the military. And they can play back in real time or potentially just load it up anytime they want, look anywhere on the planet. This video is available if you just Google SBIRS and go to the videos tab in there. You're going to find Lockheed Martin website that they just have it all there out in the open. The witness corroborates the event. She sees smoke. She sees the plane flying low. She sees a glowing orange. The time, 1840 UTC, matches with the satellite being there. It also matches with that Inmarsat data, where there's a huge anomaly at that point that was first reported by myself. Nobody looks at that Inmarsat data in that Excel spreadsheet on the SU log tab can tell me that something unusual didn't happen there. And even just as of yesterday, somebody, a part of my team, has looked up and found out there was a phone call at the 4 seconds before this plane has the anomaly in the same Excel document. But they only call one more time 6 hours later. If they don't have any contact with this plane, they don't know where it's going. Why do they just call one time at the same time we think these videos are happening and then never again? Wouldn't you think they would be calling back over and over again? None of this official story makes any sense. This is also the location where the official narrative claims this plane went into the South Indian Ocean. But as we went over yesterday, there's no chance that this video could have crashed or this plane could have crashed into the South Indian Ocean. We had no debris field found for a 777 crashing into the ocean. Even though we had the biggest, most expensive search in history, we don't find any black boxes. We have no acoustic detections from the SOSA system.
And let's expand on that. For 30 years, these orbs show up around aircraft carriers, other things. They disappear. They come back. And then obviously, so how far advanced, just guesstimation, is what the government's really got? And why does the U.S. have stuff that's so much more way advanced?
Well, personally, just to interject, I've talked to some of the guys that work at these high-level Lockheed Martin, these sorts of things. And I don't know if they'd want me to say it, but they all are convinced that this is alien technology. I'm not so much. I think either they're trying to play me for a fool or they're being played for a fool by somebody else. But I think it's interesting when you talk to guys that work, these high-level weapons contractors, they'll sort of let things leak every once in a while, say, well, it's off-world technology. And they sort of see it as...
Well, that's the cover story. It's like these whistleblowers have never seen the aliens, but they're told by the agency heads it's aliens.
Right.
But if you showed somebody in 1900 before Kitty Hawk, what we have now, they'd say that was aliens.
Right. Well, and I remember in 2001 when they were looking for bin Laden and they were showing that satellites could read the logo on a golf ball. You know, so, I mean, that was 20 years ago, and that was the publicly known.
In 1965, technology. They took photos in New York of a woman reading a newspaper. You could read the newspaper on a clear day.
Right. And that's what they tell us that they have, and that's how long ago it was. So what they have now, I think it's up to anybody's guess, and maybe Ashton is.
Yeah, keep going, Ashton. I'm sorry to interrupt. So bottom line,
no, you guys are fine.
Yeah, this is a cover-up.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this is our technology. Just like you guys said, I think they throw out disinformation out there to throw the people off and think that this can't be our technology.
Because they don't want congressional oversight.
Yeah, they don't want the oversight. And to be honest, from what I'm hearing, that they have ways that even if we look into it, they're going to make it almost impossible for us to find the answers. And that's why we have to get true disclosure on our own terms. And that's why I made that disclaimer up front. The reason why I've started my own podcast is I've interviewed people like Salvatore Pius, where if you look at his patents, we are looking at the technology in his patents. It's all explained right then and there.
And again, this is the ultimate class warfare. Well, we're all fighting over black or white or Muslim, Jew, all this stuff. The globalists literally are way in advance with life extension, virus, everything. That's a fact. The singularity's already happened.
Right.
And they're out there just deciding what to do with us.
And that was something that Ashton and I got into yesterday, the fact that this story sort of combines all of these different elements of free energy and transportation. And
I remember what Eisenhower warned of. He said a technological elite in control of the military-industrial complex, not just a military-industrial complex. So from the research, Ashton, what do we think's going on with these orbs?
Yeah, so what it looks like is these orbs are able to break apart the fundamental state of what these electrons are tied to on this plane and break them out of equilibrium. And then what they can do is they can cause something called macroscopic quantum coherence, which is that under the right conditions, electrons will form into a matter wave and begin to self-organize. And so what is happening to this plane is that we have a unification of quantum and macro. And that this plane can fundamentally act like a quantum object, even though it's a giant 777 macro scale object. And so when we look at this thermal video, the reason why we see this endothermic reaction is that we are seeing this phase state change of the plane, where it is undergoing this macroscopic phase conjugation. As it's been described to me by Dave Rossi, who's a DoD engineer, it's like hitting jello and watching it vibrate, is that it's causing this quantum entanglement effect, where there may be a fourth orb somewhere else that's entangled to these orbs. And as the orbs converge on the plane, they're triggering this phase effect to occur, this phase change, that is then having this plane move at the speed of light or superluminal speeds faster than the speed of light to a new location. Could theoretically be somewhere else.
So you're talking about like Star Trek, beam me up, Scotty.
Not Star Trek, beam me up, because that is
that takes your matter and then reorganizes it.
Yeah, but we're not doing that in this case.
Yeah.
This is more like the warp speed of the Star Trek situation, where they're able to go faster than the speed of light. So it is, in some cases, Star Trek, but not that type of teleportation that we're talking about here. Yep, we're talking about the double slit experiment in terms of having your wave function break down by observing it.
The energy can jump across, but not if it's observed.
Yes, and this all goes back to potentially even Tesla. And I think that from what I've spoken to these engineers, it's all about electrical engineering and being able to manipulate electromagnetic waves in specific patterns, toroidal patterns, where they can be focused, and that you can create a gravitational wave that will allow these effects to occur, where we can create this
gravitational... So it's like surfing. They create the wave, and the plane goes at 500 million miles an hour away.
That's exactly how it's described in Salvatore Pius's high-frequency gravitational wave generator, is that they are creating a sailing effect. They're displacing themselves from space-time entirely, which is why we see this non-radiating barrier around the orbs. And then they're creating their own geodesics, their own gravity. This is why they look like they're running on train tracks in this video here. So a lot of people look at this and go, well, this has to be non-human intelligence. I thought so first when I first looked at it. But as I've dug into this case, I realized that, no, this is actually not thousands of years more advanced. This might be 50 or 100 years more advanced that the military industrial complex is keeping hidden. Probably for good reasons in their mind. You know, part of it is that this is a national defense situation.
But let's expand on that. Let's expand on that. Why this plane? And then you've got a Chinese American that reportedly leaks it. Well, what's going on with that plane?
Yeah, so ultimately it could be a matter of opportunity. There was exercises that were happening in the Thailand region and the Andaman Sea just days later This plane has been flying and it's on fire for an hour and 20 minutes. So there's enough time to react and deploy this type of technology if necessary. But really, I think it has to be about something more than just money. The risk of this footage getting out, just like it did, is so high that you really need to have these people somehow be directly tied to the plane or to the technology, and that you either are preventing them from going to China because this technology...
That's right. Exactly. That's so smart. You only use the technology to stop it from being transferred. So that it was a greater danger to let it transferred, you had to do it.
Because whoever controls this technology controls the world. Simple.
Because
if that
plane went down, the Chi-Coms, like they've done with our C-130s or our spy planes, they could get that.
Capture and reverse engineer it.
Yeah, so, and if there is something on this plane, we've looked into the cargo, we can't find anything conclusive. There is some suspicious stuff that happened, and people can't figure out what there is exactly on this plane. But
Ashton, you know, Forbes, I'm impressed. Let's come back and talk about this. Got a great guest, Ashton Forbes, on. Harrison Smith riding shotgun with us. And his analysis that it only used the technology to keep the technology secret absolutely fits. And that's what the people we know on board were working on. With all the quantum computing, they're able to do things like this. They're about 50 years ahead of what we know.
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Mine, Ashton Forbes at Just X Ashton. Harrison Smith, weekday mornings, 8 a.m. Central. We're going to have Chase Geyser host an Owen show today, 3 p.m. Central. They tell us the SR-71 Blackbird in service in the late 1950s is still the fastest plane on Earth at Mach 6. You really believe that, folks? The fastest plane we got was in service in 1956, 57? You believe we're still in the 1950s? We're not. The future's here. It's not evenly distributed. And we're here to distribute it. The public space program is decades behind. 90% of NASA is classified. They can hide all the deaths.
Astronaut, a man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first biohazard.
All right, getting back to serious stuff. Ashton Forbes, I interrupted you a lot. Harrison Smith, jump in all you want. Recap this. This is wild information. You got all the big UFO hearings. Congress admits we're being kept from whatever's going on. The agency heads don't know. There's a whole breakaway civilization. We know that. That's what Eisenhower warned of in his farewell address in January of 1961. So keep going, Ashton Forbes. Lay it out for
us. Yeah, so I want to talk next about the leaker here, Lieutenant Commander Edward C. Lynn. This guy is my hero. When we look at these videos, we can see that the person who leaked these is most likely a military personnel, likely an operator, probably had an emotional reaction. They remove the HUD data off the drone video. They crop out the drone from the satellite video. They likely had to convince the person who uploaded it that the videos were authentic. They may even have thought they were looking at UFOs in these videos. And then later on, it was only revealed to them that this is U.S. technology. Lieutenant Commander Edward C. Lynn was part of a specialized secret squadron called the VPU-2. He flew in the Lockheed Martin EP-3 Ares II, which does real-time tactical SIGINT, which is signals intelligence, and full-motion video intelligence. The crew fuses collected intelligence along with offboard data for battlefield situational awareness. They gave his case an operation code, Rogue Archer. The last deployment for him was February 2014. He gets reassigned March 25th, 2014, just weeks after this plane goes missing. The investigation into him begins April 2nd, 2014. In May of 2014, he left two flight manifests in his flight suit from a deployment that included search and rescue code names. Like was mentioned on Greg Reese's report, the defense argues the classified information in question is available on the internet. The FBI does a sting operation on him. They wait until 2015 to charge him, most likely so that people won't be able to tie it to the case. They throw a bunch of bogus charges on there, like prostitution. The charges could have resulted in life in prison due to the espionage charges. First major incident of espionage by an active duty member of the Navy since the end of the Cold War, nearly 50 years. His charge sheet, heavily redacted. He had above top secret access, including compartmentalized information. It was privy to the Navy's black program portfolio. He's Facebook friends with General Flynn. The knowledge could be extremely useful to potential U.S. adversaries. They later had to come out and admit it wasn't really a spy case. There was no evidence that he exchanged any sensitive information from anyone from China. He gets abused while he's in pretrial detainment, and they won't release him, even though the evidence for not releasing him during pretrial detainment is just mundane emails. They force him into a plea deal where he takes a 9-year sentence for 2 charges of mishandling classified information, which is far more than anyone else gets for similar charges. He gets 3 years taken off because he works with the NCIS and the FBI to go ahead and say that what he did was wrong, accepts responsibility for the offenses that he was guilty of. I go ahead and FOIA the FBI and NCIS. The NCIS rejects my FOIA in total, using an Obama-era executive order to be kept secret in the interest of national defense or foreign policy, which if it's not a spy case, then all we're left with there is national defense. So Lieutenant Commander Edward C. Lynn, to the President of the United States, give this man a pardon. He is not a traitor.
And as you pointed out, he was in the very area of signals intelligence that is the admitted 3D satellite systems they've got. And he all this happens right when he gets in trouble. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I liked your theory that you said yesterday on the War Room, Ashton, that maybe he released this thinking it was UFO footage, thinking it maybe wasn't that big of a deal or just kind of interest to UFOlogists, and only to later realize, oh, I just revealed hidden technology that maybe he didn't even know was hidden technology. He thought it was just some sort of weird aberration that may have been a UFO. Can you expand on that theory a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, so we think that he was on one of these airplanes that KT sees that the French dad was told about, staring at this, because the Regicide Anon description says received March 12th, which is just 4 days later.
Sure, you see UFOs, you want to get it out to people.
Right. Just to clarify to people, Regicide Anon is the original YouTube account that uploaded it. It no longer exists, but there's archives available on your Twitter for it. Correct. And this is one of the interesting things about it, that in order to create this video, computer generated, I mean, a lot of work would have to go in. You've pointed out how they would have to have high level knowledge of physics and quantum mechanics because everything fits perfectly in these videos. So if a person created it as an animation or as a computer generated image, why would they put that much work into it? How could they have done it that quickly in order to get it up by just mere days after it happens? And then why just put it on some small, very, very obscure YouTube channel that never gets any press and then goes away only to be sort of brought back thanks to you and your research group. I mean, there's so much of this.
Yeah, maybe it was a hobby thing to share with his friends.
Yeah, and it doesn't look to me like a cover-up or something orchestrated because it's been so quiet for so long, and it really took digging from you and your team.
That should continue.
Yeah, so, you know, in terms of it being a hoax, there's a huge list of details that make it almost impossible to hoax. The narrow time window, these coordinates that we see that indicate the Nicobar Islands, those agreed-upon flight path of the plane at 1840 UTC. We can see the weather matches, these cumulus clouds. We looked at the NASA satellites. There's actually low weather pattern in that area at the same time. We've got multiple VFX experts that are in major studios that have said that the hardest part is trying to get these plane capabilities to match when you take a video of it, like Top Gun Maverick. And in this video, we can see that the turn is maxing out the capabilities of a 777-200 wall in descent, which is consistent with our witness sighting as well. The amount of time that would take this is far too long. Visual effects experts.
Yeah, before the reports, before the telemetry reports ever came out, the experts are saying this matches them.
Yeah. And so, you know, the turn into the South Indian Ocean wasn't even public knowledge until March 13th. And this thing says it was received March 12th. So likely situation here is that it was leaked to this Regicide Anon account, that they posted it. They don't necessarily even believe it's real. They get it from this source, and then they have to be convinced that it's real. And then later on, they may not even have wanted to release the second video, but, you know, maybe due to the charges and the situation that they were in, they felt that it was necessary for that second video to come out, which corroborates the first video and shows us even more detail into the technology of these orbs and what they're doing to the plane there.
And I'll tell you, I watched some of the debunking videos because, you know, I approached this with a skeptical eye. As we talked about yesterday during the interview, when I first saw this, I thought sort of, it's too good. It looks too good to be true almost. I mean, it's something that, you know, somebody researching this would die to have, and yet here it is.
Yeah.
But I've watched some of the more popular debunking videos on YouTube, VFX artists who have tried to debunk this, and frankly, their explanations don't they don't work. And
but let's expand on that. I want you to make your point, but I'm interrupting because I just can't hold my tongue. We have seen for 20, 30 years the Pentagon releasing these orb videos around ships, helicopters, and planes, and they say they don't know. So these things are known.
Right.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's like the oldest manifestation of unidentified flying objects.
From World War II. They say that we had three orbs around us.
Right.
Which makes you think maybe it is alien or it was our Germans or...
Or,
well, let's skip the break. Skip the break. We need more time here.
Something.
I interrupted you, Harrison. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. Well, okay. So one of the examples is that in this VFX video where they're so-called debunking it, they show the infrared and they show the sort of explosion, that snap when the plane actually disappears.
Yeah, guys. I want to show just the flash point.
Right, just the flash point. And they go, well, if this was thermal, then why does it look so dark? It would be red if it was an explosion, but it's not an explosion. It's an implosion, or that's probably not totally technically accurate. Ashton, you explained it to me yesterday.
To escape.
Yeah,
endothermic event.
Endothermic, there you go.
It's an absorption of energy, not a release of energy, right? And these dispersion patterns are very common in physics. In fact, people were trying to debunk it earlier, claiming that it was an ink blot. And we've shown that these patterns are consistent all over in nature. We see them in supernovas and other types of effects that happen just like this. So what the debunkers have tried to do is match up one frame and they try to line it up. It still doesn't perfectly match when they do that. And then they just claim, well, someone would have modified it. The problem is there's nothing to compare it to. It's not like you're reproducing the Mona Lisa here. If somebody created this, they would have done it from scratch. So there's no logical explanation for why they would be modifying an effect because they have nothing to convert it to. They would have been blindly changing it to then just get it to look like our effect, which is equivalent of monkeys typing on a keyboard and then just producing Shakespeare. So we've debunked every single potential debunk out there, and that's because the videos are authentic. Now, just to go ahead and take it a step further, we've had Kim.com throw down $100,000, Investigate Earth, Chad and Sherry added $20,000, and a wealthy donor who's running for higher office reached out to me directly. I talked to them, and they threw in another $25,000 for anyone who can find this supposed hoaxer who's making these masterpieces and doesn't want any credit for them and bring us the source work. If they produce this, just like somebody producing a Marvel movie, there's going to be a hard drive full of information that they used while they were putting this together in real time. So come to us with that hoaxer, come to us with that source documentation, and you can go ahead and get $145,000. To date, nobody has come forward. Instead, they're sticking with these stories that they think they could recreate it. And even people with 6 million YouTube subscribers have only produced laughable attempts at recreations of even 5 seconds that don't even come close to the level of detail that we're seeing in this footage.
And the level of detail that matches from what we know, that some information they couldn't have even known at the time in order to make the video match the information that only came out later. And that's another interesting aspect of this is the timeline of it disappearing in 2014, just days, maybe a few weeks after this video is uploaded. But then, and you lay out, actually, you have a really good layout of all of the information in your letter to Congress. It's an open letter to Congress that you publish on your Twitter, where you say, we needed the 2017 DOD Navy UAP video to understand what FLIR footage looked like. The 2019 Trump satellite leak to understand those capabilities. The 2020 scientific papers that show wormholes are humanly traversable. So it's like every few years, there's another piece of the puzzle.
And if you look, it's like a holes blast in the universe right there. But let's expand on this. If I walk into a showroom of furniture and I look up across 50 yards and I see a bowl, I can tell it's fake fruit all the way away because my brain knows it. Once I get there, it's fake fruit. Not just that I expect fake fruit in a store, it's fake fruit. When you look at those orbs come in, one comes in and tracks, another does, and you see them not sync, and although they sync up perfectly, I mean, just the eye looks at that and says, that's real.
Right.
Your eye knows, like, that's real.
As somebody,
like, even when I see an AI beautiful woman, I go, that's not AI. They go, yeah. A brain can still see what's AI and what's real. Looks real to me.
And as somebody who's done a very moderate level of, video editing and using graphics like that, the amount of work it would take to have to, you'd have to go frame by frame, you'd have to have particle creators. I mean, it's an incredible level of detail, and why do it? Why do it and then release it on some random YouTube and never bring it up again? It's like, why put
hundreds of hours? Well, you can see them triangulating because they're zooming in like a wolf pack, and then they start triangulating. You can see it right there.
It just has the mark of being real.
It's a 120-degree, zero-point sinusoidal pattern, which we've had PhDs come and reply in my replies and say this looks like what they see in electrical engineering as well. So everything that we see here lines up.
Exactly. It follows the particle theory from stuff I'm not a scientist, but I've looked at it. It just,
And further evidence for why this is us is that these we're already filming this before these orbs even show up. It's like, why is the drone even there? Because it obviously intercepted the plane. The orbs are moving at Mach 3. So this is not a situation where the plane's trying to outrun them. The orbs are moving 10 times faster than this plane is moving here. The pattern can be explained by a computer program. They're locking in. The first orb doesn't lock in right away, but the other two orbs get onto the plane almost instantly after they get next to it here. So we also can't be attributing human motivations to a non-human intelligence, in my opinion. Everything that we see here is similar is what we would expect from humans to be doing. When the thermal here, it zooms in on the plane to get the best intelligence possible. Right before we see this zap happen, this endothermic event, it zooms out. Like they know it's about to happen here. But the most important part is that science can actually explain everything we see in these videos.
But don't we also see the orbs are closing in on the plane then?
Yeah, and that's when they're inducing that phase state change. So they're potentially both repelling and attracting to one another, which allows them to stay in this perfect equilateral triangle. And then when they converge on the plane, after they've done mapping the plane, potentially sending that data to make sure that they're going to be able to induce this phase state change correctly, that's when they're triggering the singularity. And that's what is happening when they converge. Not only do they converge, but they actually rotate their axis to a point where we think these gravity engines that are pulling them forward are all angling directly at the plane.
I don't want to talk about the science behind this, but first,
yeah.
When I look at aircraft carriers surrounded for decades or AWACS, whatever, we see the same thing being swarmed around. Why aren't they being disappeared? Because we've definitely seen the same thing before.
Yeah, and we've seen several other videos out there. Now, I can't go ahead and tell everybody about any other videos. If I'm an expert at anything, it's just these videos that are right here. What I do hope is that authenticating these videos will give credit to all those other sightings that people have out there. Some of the most compelling things to me are when people talk to me and they say, I told my grandmother about this and about this technology and she cried. Or when people come out to me and tell me, I see this stuff in the sky.
What was the speculated thing in the 1950s where they made a battleship disappear on the East Coast? What was that called?
Philadelphia Experiment.
Philadelphia Experiment.
And so the question there is this proven technology or not? And that could be another motive, is that potentially this plane is doomed. Maybe we're going to go ahead and try this technology out, given that these passengers are already doomed. We can't say exactly what happened to this plane or exactly where it went. We can only prove what we can see and up to the point here from when this plane took off.
How does the lithium battery fire relate to all of this? How did that happen? Was that sabotage on board? Was that
a pretext to then do this?
Yeah, or it's kind an of aspect mystery, of the right? energy, the, you know, just the energy being used.
But how many times is it a plane full of top scientists that disappears?
Right, 20.
It happens all the time. Or Congressman Larry McDonald, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah, there's been other stories there. And so even with all this evidence, which is just overwhelming in my opinion, there's still mystery. Did the fire start accidentally? Was it espionage from the beginning? There was two Iranian fake passengers aboard this plane who are using stolen passports, flying together, changed their identity to look more like the people in the passports. This was just brushed over and kind of.
Yeah, so this plane's got a lot of weird stuff going on.
They've got a lot of weird stuff going on. So we can't say exactly. I mean, some people have even said that some of the conspiracy theories that were out there before said maybe this plane was being remote controlled. You know, I can only prove what we can with the evidence. I can't say exactly. But what we can say here is we are seeing this plane disappear using what seems to be advanced technology that is most likely third-party contractors tied to the Department of Defense, maybe the Department of Energy as well. These are probably the most secretive technology that is even out there. And I think that part of the reason why this is not a PSYOP is they're still trying to hide this to this day. They are trying to discredit me, trying to discredit the case, because they don't want this out there, either because the implications are that this technology is too risky. They don't want this technology to fall in the hands of Russia and China. However, my counter argument is that this video has been out here for 9 years. If we are able to figure this out with just a Twitter account and Google, then boy, I hope China and Russia have figured it out by now.
Well, let's expand on that, though. Let's look at that. With all Congress saying, even the agency heads don't know what's going on with these UFOs, and now they say we got to have a new office just to find out what's happening. We know there's a breakaway government doing whatever it wants.
Yeah, pretty much. And I'd say that's, you know, we've seen that in Congress recently when they talk about these UAP hearings are getting blocked. They're trying to get this bill watered down because they're trying to protect these third party companies. They're trying to protect themselves. The legal liability is gigantic here. We were even able to find in my piece called Buy in Silence that the amount of money these families got is so much smaller than what people would expect, probably about $80,000 each, where if this had been tried in the United States, they would have got millions. And the person who ruled against the case being tried in the United States, current Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, she got a pretty nice promo after 2018 where she dismissed the case because it should be put in Malaysia. What I would ask you, Alex and Harrison, is, what do you think the charges should be for the people who are hiding this? Do you think we should hit them with a $1 billion lawsuit? Do you think we should hit them with seditious conspiracy charges and put them into prison for 17 years? Because from what I hear, there's precedent for that now.
Well, there certainly is. But I mean, regardless, we know there's a lot of advanced technology. What got you into this research, or what other areas you're looking at?
Yeah, I think that what got me in here is I had never seen videos that were this compelling. And all I care about is the truth. That's the only side that I'm on out there. I want to make sure that we can tell the world the truth about this. I can't keep this hidden. I can't live with this, knowing this technology is out there and that we are not giving it out there, because there's people that have nothing on this planet. I go by at least 10 homeless people every single day that have nothing, but their mental well-being has been damaged from it. And when I look across social media, I just see a rot that has gone through our entire society that has led to the division that we're seeing here, where people can't believe anything to be true. People are at each other's throats all the time, and we need to somehow flip this around. So I think that these videos will serve to organize the best and measure our energies and skills, and that this is a challenge that we are willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, as John F. Kennedy would say.
All right, very interesting. I want to get you back up with an update. Anything else you'd like to add, Ash and Forbes?
Yeah, real quickly, I just want to do some quick shout-outs. It was MH370X, Social Media, Kim.com, Chad and Sherry, Tony Merkel, Brian Lupo, Alpha Warrior, Clint Russell, Rex Leak, Jeremy Reese, Diamond, Sonia Putan, Alien Addict, Room 2008, and all the other podcasters. Last thing I want to say is that other people I want to speak to, Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, Lex Friedman, put me on even with Bill Maher's panel. I'm already scheduled to talk on Culture Wars with Tim Pool in a few weeks. I will speak to anyone. If Andrew and Tristan Tate want help breaking the Matrix, I'm there. If Elon Musk wants help exposing disinformation campaign, look to the east.
That was a question I had. What do you think of Elon Musk? Because I know he's all part of the secret space program.
I think he probably knows that this stuff is real, and I think he probably has an NDA where he can't talk about it, and I think he's under attack from many people because he bought a platform that is trying to allow free speech out there, one that the government can't control anymore, according to the Twitter files. I think the only reason why I haven't been banned off of Twitter is because he owns it under old leadership. I think that this we would already have had this whole thing get covered up, and I would have probably been banned off social media.
That's I agree with that, but also his satellites are perfect for targeting stuff like this.
Yeah, and I hope he's on the side of good in this case, and I hope he'll come out and help us reveal this conspiracy. If he were to even comment on any of my posts, it would just go completely mainstream potentially.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Action Forbes, thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
Harrison, you already did your show this morning. You've been hosting the War Room today. It's Chase Geiser. Any other closing comments?
No, I just think this is so fascinating. It's such a classic InfoWars topic that it involves so many different aspects of what we talk about on a daily basis, whether it's secret technology, breakaway civilizations, the elite hoarding things for themselves so they can manipulate everybody else through resource scarcity. I mean, this really is intriguing. And to be perfectly clear, I'm not 100% saying this is exactly, you know, he is absolutely right about everything, but I have tried my hardest.
I've looked at it. My gut tells me, and I'm 99% of the time it's my intellect, but I tell you what, my gut says it looks real to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, you know, I don't want to get up and say something's real and then be made a fool of later when it's revealed not to be. So I'm very careful about things like this and not just running with it.
But I think Ash is pretty credible.
He seems very credible. Everybody he has worked with seems very credible. The amount of.
But I've also seen all the other confirmed footage. Just these orbs are swarming things.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and even, I mean, just in the crew room after the show yesterday, the number of crew members we have who they themselves or their family members and friends have all seen very, very similar things in their own lives. At a certain point, it becomes the amount of evidence comes overwhelming, and you have to accept there's something here. There's something here, even if we don't have the full story. There's certainly something worth looking into and asking questions about. And,
yeah, there's a lot of forbidden technology. Harrison, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. We've got the great Jay Dyer coming up. You know what funds this operation? Exposing the poison shots, the whistleblowers, all the confirmed stuff, the speculative stuff we rarely do, but it's important. Your support plus the products you need right now. TurboForce, 10 hours, clean energy, the very best product out there. It time releases all the vitamins, the amino acids, the key herbs, all the best types of caffeine, everything. 10 hours clean energy, Turbo Force, the fan favorite. Back in stock, InfoWarsStore.com. X2, man, it's finally paying the bills. They have limited supply. It's about to sell out. X2, the deep earth crystal iodine. InfoWarsStore.com. Nobody else has got it. X2, high quality products are there. We've got store-wide free shipping. We got double Patriot points. All of it's running right now for Cyber Week. That is all going to end very soon. Back in stock, Vasobeats, the nitrous oxide in your body, does the same thing as the a nitric boost. It's so important. That's a great product. We've got the great colloidal silver back in stock, 30 parts per million, silver bullet. All of it at InfoWarsStore.com with free shipping store-wide, double Patriot points, and it keeps this operation on air. I want to thank you all for your support. Please get a copy of my book, InfoWarsStore, The Great Awakening. We're not going to stop fighting, but we can't stand the fight without you. InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be right back with the great Jay Dyer.
Welcome back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. So glad to be back. I wish that I was on vacation. I was actually on a pilgrimage, and I ended up getting the super COVID pneumonia China flu or whatever I had. So it was not the best trip. So Jamie had to put up with me basically hawking up phlegm everywhere. But she was a trooper. She did good. And glad to be back. I love hosting the Alex Jones Show. Today we're going to talk about a book that Jamie delved really deep into, which I think is perfect for capturing the essence of where the elite want to see us go in the next aeon, in the next thousand years, to build the new order of the ages, the new aeon that they think they're going to be able to create, where the elite will go into the future and the rest of us will be gotten rid of. We will be depopped. Talking about depopulation, we're talking about the religious engineering that the elite are going to use and are using and openly talk about. I've got a bunch of quotes in my own book that I've been reading here, United Nations Exposed by William Jasper. This is a classic John Birch Society text. And there's a whole host of quotes that are going to go along with what Jamie is going to be reading from this esoteric father of the new age, Crowleyan sphere. Kenneth Grant was a follower of Aleister Crowley. Crowley himself was British intelligence. And so he was really speaking for the mouth of the establishment, the theosophists, the people running a lot of this New World Order, New Age religion, way ahead of time, like Helena Blavatsky. And she is really the mother, you could say, of the spirituality of the United Nations. So you're going to notice that this all ties in together. Also want to talk a little bit about Cosmo Magazine's post that they put up about satanic abortions, which they're now promoting openly in Cosmo. So, Jamie, tell us about this book and what do we need to know about this?
Well, I'm glad you brought up Blavatsky because all that has to do with the communications with the secret chiefs, right? Or the hidden masters, those guys sitting up in the Himalayas, all cross-legged and meditating and
floating, sensitive New Age men.
Yeah, yeah. And so this book is a critical study of Aleister Crowley's system of sex magic, which they call the Ophidian Current. And it has to do with tantric rites of Kali, the dark goddess of blood represented by Crowley's cult as the Scarlet Woman, which is what we see in a lot of the award shows.
Yeah, like Katy Perry comes out riding the beast and, you know, a lot of the imagery taken from the Book of the Apocalypse. Of course, right. It's not understood in a Christian sense. It's understood in this Gnostic, satanic sense.
So this book is to teach the use of what they call psychosexual energies, and Crowley was obsessed with contacting the hierarchy of spiritual powers by the total annihilation of personality, which is what happens when you go through mysticism, yoga, Zen, all of these, and what they call it is the ordeal of the abyss. Now, the secret chiefs, which also Hitler was in contact with, and he would have night sweats, night terrors, wake up in screaming and coming out of meetings with these supermen, they call them, right? Nietzsche and supermen. And so I just wanted to read you a quote here about what the physical encounters says. This is from Mathers, another magician contemporary of Crowley, right? He says, let's see. My physical encounters with them have shown me how difficult it is for a mortal, however advanced, to support their presence. And this is what aliens are going to be. This is
The same mode of contact, which a lot of these guys are doing various hallucinogens and the ritual magic, and that they're saying, oh, then the entities that I'm contacting, that's the gods, which will later basically be the same thing as the interdimensional aliens.
Right. So he says, I do not mean that during my rare meetings with them, I experienced the same feeling of intense physical depression that accompanies the loss of magnetism. And this is what they mean by having an orgasm. On the contrary, I felt I was in contact with a force so terrible that I can only compare it to the shock one would receive from being near a flash of lightning during a great thunderstorm experienced at the same time great difficulty in breathing. The nervous prostration I spoke of was accompanied by cold sweats and bleeding from the nose, mouth, and sometimes ears. Now, the great difficulty breathing was also reported by Hitler, and this is where the ritual of the stifling air of the SS comes from. Also, the Templars had a similar ritual, and Anton LaVey.
So this is pointing out that a lot of the high-level members of the SS, for example, they were influenced by theosophy. Himmler wanted to recreate the Knights of the Round Table, and he would engage in these rituals. So, you know, it's not just a National Socialist mysticism. They really tried to implement this everywhere, and that's why the spirituality that the United Nations adopted is this spirituality that is an attempt at blending all the religions into a new kind of collectivism. For example, H.G. Wells, who we've covered many, many times, in Open Conspiracy, he wrote, "The histories and symbols that served our forefathers actually encumber and divide us. The sacraments and rituals of the previous religions harbor disputes, and they waste our time and emotions. The modernization of religion leads us straight to the effort to establish the one world state as a duty." So here Wells is telling you in this famous book, The Open Conspiracy, that he wrote in 1928, that the purpose of the United Nations as it emerges, it would later be the same circles of the Royal Society that would go into doing the philosophy of the United Nations, like Julian Huxley, is to create a new religious system and symbology that all the world religions could kind of unite into. And that actually explains why we're seeing so many religious leaders come out as open globalists. We see this with Pope Francis. We see this with a lot of other world religion heads. They're moving us into this pre-planned, pre-packaged globalist religion, which is just a tool of the world state.
Right. So the secret chiefs are the ones who authorized Crowley to establish a new epoch in the evolution of consciousness and of people. So Hitler also, and Crowley, talks about evolution being forced to go in two separate ways to create Superman and the slaves that serve, right?
That's the teaching of Charles Galton Darwin, and it's also in H.G. Wells's book, The Time Machine, because in The Time Machine, when he goes several hundred thousand years into the future, he finds that the human race has evolved into Eloi and Morlocks. And so the Eloi are these sort of, passive, godlike, living in the Elysian fields. But they're vegetarians, and they get fed on by the Morlocks, who are these cannibals that live underground. So, I mean, even in H.G. Wells' fiction, you can see the same principles being taught, where they believe that there's going to be this fork in evolution, to where basically there's a bunch of slow boys that are the population, and then a bunch of Nietzschean Ubermensches, even though in Wells' story they become basically vegan soy boys again.
So a lot of this magic, this psychosexual magic, has to do with the assumption of god forms, and particularly Egyptian god forms. So wearing an animal mask, they talk a lot about atavism, which is getting in touch with your ancestors and your future progeny at the same time, and merging evolution, bringing god to a beast through the vessel of man. And so this reminded me of that Rothschild party they had, where they had those pictures come out and lots of people wearing animal masks. And certainly in witches' sabbaths, you're going to have people wearing horned heads, things like that. So basically what they want to do is dress up in animal costumes and
home. Right, because the idea behind this religion is that the most powerful force in the universe is the generative principle. And so most of the world religions have in some way worshiped the generative principle. And this led more cunning elites and blue bloods and royals to figure out that the way to control society is not just to control them through various economic means or through the power of the state, but also to control the religious realm and to control breeding. And I just finished reading the second novel in the Dune series, and I was struck by how much of the series by Frank Herbert is actually obsessed with this notion of controlling and steering bloodlines, tapping into the gene pools to create the fitter offspring of the future. So the whole series is actually geared towards exposing and elucidating the elite philosophy of life, especially eugenics. Herbert was very aware of eugenics, and that's really what undergirds the philosophy of Dune. Of course, the next installment of Dune will be coming out in March. And so if you're looking for a
fictional story that actually encapsulates this. I think Dune is a good example of that. And I just did a really deep dive into Dune on my YouTube channel. If you go to Jay Dyer on YouTube, you can see my really deep breakdown of the first Dune, getting into the mind control, getting into the witch covenant of the Bene Gesserits. And then I go really deep into Dune Messiah, the sequel, in the part two for subscribers. So head on over to my YouTube channel. You can also subscribe to Jamie on YouTube under her channel as well. And when we come back, we'll get into more of the new age esoteric yoga religion that they're trying to promote in the West. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, the Kwisatz Haderach, Jay Dyer. This is my wife, Jamie Henshaw, and we are covering the importation by design of Far Eastern collectivist ideas and philosophies to engineer and steer the West into a new aeon. And what are the characteristics of that aeon that the elite want to inculcate?
Well, let's talk about the Scarlet Woman. So this is the Beast 666 girlfriend, right?
The consort.
And according to them, this is any woman that receives and transmits my solar word and being. So what does that mean? We are talking about Kali. Again, we're talking about yoga, specifically raising your kundalini up through your spine and giving you phenomenal cosmic powers to do what? So these Scarlet Women are connected to ancient temple prostitution, which is preserved in the doctrines of Indian and Tibetan tantras. So there is a left-hand path of Tibetan Buddhism that is the dark side, right?
So I have a question. How does this relate to ISIS? Because when we were in Rome a couple of weeks ago, I read a lot about the ancient religious reverence in pagan Rome for ISIS, because they found that the ancient deities that they had, the cultures that they would conquer, they would kind of take the gods into their pantheon as well. And they had a lot of reverence for ISIS as well. She had her own cult. So how does this relate to ISIS?
So this book talks about a goddess called New Isis, which is the new woman. So Isis, you can differentiate her from the other goddesses in Egypt because she has a throne on her head. A lot of them look similar, except one has a feather, one has a throne, one has, but she has the seat. And this seat is the chakra of the kundalini that they're talking about, the seat of power that rises up during these sex magic rituals. And so this book gives a list of Crowley's seven girlfriends or slash wives who were his Scarlet Women and what magical grades they helped him attain.
The holy thoughts.
Yes.
Crowley's thoughts.
And what demons they put him in contact with, because it was actually his new wife, Rose Kelly, who dictated the Book of the Law through channeling, and he just wrote it down, right? Because the woman is the better medium for whatever reason to channel these spirits. So using Tantra to invoke the deities and awaken Kundalinis, and they make magic elixir from bodily fluids, and this is what the OTO is about, and this is one of the pillars of sex magic, is using your bodily fluids to cast spells.
I think that part of this has to do with the psychology of denigrating a person. So to put them through a kind of a humiliation ritual, if you read C.S. Lewis's Space Trilogy in the third installment, which we covered here on the Fourth Hour, C.S. Lewis has this allegory for the Illuminati or the Tavistock Institute and all these different institutes in the UK that are really trying to institute a new world order technocracy based on the contact that they've had with these interdimensional entities that they think are spiritual beings who are actually just demons. And the demons are telling them that everybody that comes into this organization known as NICE, N-I-C-E, they have to be initiated through something like what you're talking about. So my point I'm making here is that C.S. Lewis, the most famous Christian writer and apologist of the 20th century, he knew about what you're talking about with these really degrading, bizarre rituals that people were put through, these humiliation rites with bodily fluids and all this kind of stuff, because that it has an effect of degrading you and getting you sort of bound to this new cult. And now you're sort of psychologically and spiritually bound to this after going through these degrading rituals.
So just like Kali is known as a mother, she's also known as a destructive goddess, you know, who wears a garland of skulls around her neck and things like that. So they think that this elixir can also be used as somewhat of a venom that brings men into direct relationship with demonic worlds. So they think of these bodily fluids as the elixirs of eternal life, and they manifest in the high priestess at the climax of the sacred rite when the fire snake has achieved union with Pan in the night sky lit with stars. So this, the hidden god that they're talking about in this book is actually Pan, which means all, and is symbolized by the, you know, the horned god and also Baphomet the androgen.
Well, this is where we get the word pantheism, right? Pan, all, yeah. All is God. Pan is God, right?
This, that's the root,
right? Panspermia, yeah.
Right. So the priestess or the witch queen, they call her, is the ever virgin to Pan. She doesn't have to be a virgin. She just has to be childless. That's what they consider virgins, right?
So sterile.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what you're talking about with the Cosmo magazine.
That's why the elite are pushing through pop culture, through the magazines and the literature and everything, this necessity for you to be sterile, for you to not have offspring, for you to not go into the future, to not project your genetic lineage into the future because you're bad for the planet, right? All of this is tied up in this new goddess religion that's being promoted. And the goddess religion, you might think, oh, well, isn't that Mother Earth? And doesn't that mean that we're going to be fruitful and multiply? No, the goddess religion is a sterile, abortifacient religion. And that's why Cosmo Magazine is pushing the idea that you can make your abortions into a kind of self-affirming quasi-satanic ritual.
Mm-hmm. So in a nutshell, this kind of magic is using sex to produce anything but a child, right?
Well, the idea is that the energy can be turned in on yourself to empower yourself. In fact, our friend Rachel Wilson, who wrote the book about occult feminism, she was just on Church of the Eternal Logos' channel on YouTube, and they did a long breakdown of how a lot of millennial and Gen Z girls are going on TikTok and describing how they've had ritual abortions and how they've done it for the purpose of self-empowerment.
Mm-hmm. So they're trying to get this mysterious ultimate elixir of life from the virgins who are childless women, and the tantric initiate begets children on virgins without physical intervention. So this is another blasphemous inversion of virgin birth, right? And the spirit children are also known as the extraterrestrial current into the human life wave. So here we've got your ETs, ghoulies, demons. This is what they think that they are bringing forth, the invasion.
If there are spirit children, does that mean that there's a bunch of spirit baby daddies and baby mamas?
Yeah, the magicians and the priestesses. Like, yes. But they don't have to pay child support on those.
Right. Things. You pay spiritual child support. So I got a quote here. This is from a prominent feminist, and her name is Mary Daly from Boston College. She's a radical feminist, quote, theologian. She said, Antichrist and the second coming of women are synonymous. The second coming is not a return of Christ, but a new arrival of the female presence. The second coming, then, means that the prophetic dimension of the symbol of the great goddess is the key to salvation from servitude. So she's actually saying that the rise of the feminine and the goddess is the demotion of the masculine and the patriarchal. And for her, that's the real antichrist, the opposition to Christ, the male patriarchal figure. So oftentimes they'll actually just say what they mean. For example, Gloria Steinem wrote, quote, witches are true freedom fighters for women. And I keep talking about this because you go on TikTok, if you go on platforms and look at what people 25 and younger are into, they're obsessed with witchcraft. They're obsessed with the occult now. And that's by design. That's what the elite planned for that generation to be into. Gloria Steinem says that witches were freedom fighters because they taught contraception and abortion before anyone else. The modern contribution is to elevate reproductive freedom into a universal human right. It just serves the elite power of population control and depopulation. This is the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis, and I'm here with Jamie Hanshaw, and we are discussing the principles and esoteric secrets of the new aeon and where the global elite want to take us with this United Nations inspired adjacent world religion that they want to control and concoct. And I wanted to give another quote. back in 1992 when they had the Rio Earth Summit that Maurice Strong and George Bush Sr. and a lot of the elites attended to try to push forward the austerity green agenda back in the 1990s. And they put out a lot of publications after they had that summit. And one of them said, quote, "We must now forge a new earth ethic, a new covenant, which will inspire all the peoples of the world to join in a global partnership, north, south, east, and west." That's the UN publication, In Our Hands, the Earth Summit, 1992. So you notice all of these quotes go together. And Maurice Strong, who was at that summit, said the exact same thing, that the purpose of this summit was to support the forces of light against the, quote, forces of darkness, to bring about a superior law of divine nature. So the UN for them is kind of the new church. It's the new voice of God. It's the new locus of both church and state for forging the future. And that is really, as we said, a Rockefeller creation. The United Nations is 100% basically emerges from the money and the land donated by the Rockefeller family. And this is the religion that you're reading about Kenneth Grant and these people talking about.
Yeah. So Crowley proposed a series of experiments, controlled experiments designed, he thought, to awaken the genius within each man and woman, the perfect fusion of solar and lunar energies in one organism represented alchemically by the androgen, a glyph of the great work. So there we go.
The androgen being androgyny.
Yeah. That's why androgyny is popping off in the past couple of years. So the occult significance of androgynous emblems such as Zeus,
non-binary,
Bacchus, and Baphomet, which Crowley employed as symbolic of his own peculiar formula, bears a direct relation to the newly evolved psychosomatic structures which we see emerging in humanity today.
Can I make a point there, which is that you have to understand that what's behind a lot of the non-binary transgender push is this dissociative aspect that you can dissociate the person and the consciousness and the soul from the body. And then the soul can basically determine what it wants to be, male or female, puppy, alien, helicopter, whatever they want to say. And then the body has to then conform to that, and they can choose through some sort of consumerist process to purchase a man body or purchase a woman body. Mm-hmm. It's absolute insanity, but it's predicated on, first of all, trauma and dissociation by design, and that there's nothing wrong with dissociating from your body. It's a Gnostic, neo-Gnostic idea that the body is somehow inferior and bad and can be destroyed or can be mutilated. And then it's premised on the alchemical satanic notion of the Baphomet, which is both genders or non-gendered, that is higher than any state of having male or female gender. So there's this assumption that it's a more spiritual, more enlightened state to have no gender or to have both genders or whatever, and hence Baphomet. So it's a new religion that's anti-creation. It's against the biology of the created order and how we're made. And you have to understand that it's intentionally pushed. And the Tavistock documents talk about intentionally pushing these things to cause and create mania and dissociation and psychotic stress and breaks in the population by design.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking about heroes because Horus was the first, or his word derives from that word hero, action heroes. That's why action heroes are so big. We're talking about God, Zeus, those people. And then they go on to say the incursion of extraterrestrial influences into the human life wave, unconsciously or consciously attracted to the individual embryo, would be a means of incarnating such mutants. The intense magical operations which Crowley performed could and probably did engender strange and unearthly children. So this is the X-Men.
Well, it is. What X-Men in the Marvel Universe is talking about is applicable to the scientism and science-obsessed mad scientists who want to experiment on humans and basically, like Jonas Salk writes about in his book Survival of the Wisest, experimenting on infants through vaccinations.
And when we get to the end, we're going to say what Crowley thought of as the Mark of the Beast, and the X-Men logo and also X-Files, that clip you played, is also that symbol.
Well, I didn't play, but they played.
Well, yeah.
But yeah, X for Crowley, X, I'm not accusing anybody of being Antichrist. I don't know who the Antichrist is. I'm just saying that in this magical system, the X is seen to be the axis of the world. And so the world is X and Y axis, you can apply that to the way the world spins and whatnot. And in that system, that's how they see the world.
The X is in occult is the crossroads. It is the meeting point of God and human.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, and to give another quote, another one of the key elements that the elite want to push, as we said, is this idea that the new world religion has to be something that is not derived from any previous text. So in other words, there might be a new future religious text. And that's where I think the statement of No Yuval Harari comes in, because Harari says, and has been pushing for the last couple of years in his book Homo Deus, and in a lot of his talks, he says that the deficiency of a lot of the world religions books previously is that they were written by one group of people or one society or one culture or one dude. And so they're always going to be limited. But the idea of AI, if AI can produce new books in a matter of seconds, why couldn't AI produce a much superior religious text in no time at all? And we're actually seeing a lot of science fiction stories actually push this notion that, you know, AI can perhaps be our future savior. It can give us a pseudo voice of God. It can give us a new divine text, a new revelation that would be superior to any of the previous ancient texts. And in the book of Dune, for example, I think one of the positive aspects of Dune is that they've had a Butlerian jihad where AI is actually forbidden in the world of Dune, because AI enslaved man, and man had to then overthrow it because AI had the impetus to completely depopulate humanity. I think Frank Herbert, you know, for whatever his flaws are, he actually knew and understood that that was the elite plan, and he put that in the novel, that AI would be used to basically depopulate humanity.
Well, one reason we're seeing Christianity persecuted is because, well, first of all, many of Crowley's wives and girlfriends, after he was done with them, they ended up in an insane asylum called Colney Hatch to spend their days. And so, according to them, a person who subscribed to historic Christianity would be psychologically unable to use the formula of sex magic taught in this, what they called a sovereign sanctuary, because can't handle it. Your psyche cannot handle it, right?
Well, that applies, I think, to society as a whole, because sex has now been completely weaponized and is used as a control structure. So humans are being debased and their normal, healthy sex drive is being overrun with all kinds of, you know, degenerate, debasing types of things to actually destroy them. So sex can be a great thing. It's a powerful, obviously, tool for creating life. It's the generative principle. But it can also be a tool of enslavement, just like a lot of the other basic needs that we have. Think about the need or the desire for security, right? Big terror attacks then scare everybody, and they give up their liberty for the promise of security from the deep state, the security state. And so the trade-off there is playing on Maslow's hierarchy of needs and human weaknesses. So likewise, the desire for sexuality and sexual fulfillment can be played upon, just like the desire for food can be played upon. The elite give you junk food. They give you a simulated sexuality to basically sterilize you and to destroy you.
Or use all of your sexuality to attain what their ends are.
Also, what do you mean?
Like using the public's powers and turning people to different lifestyles.
Okay. Skittles.
Yeah.
So taking your energy and focusing
exactly.
it into sterility.
They think the new Aeon is spending the inhibited sexual energy in a tremendous orgasm. So the new Aeon is basically a coom.
But it's a sterile one.
Yes.
It's not one that produces life. And
exactly.
So this is all about your sterility and the ending of your genetics. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Thank you for tuning in. We remind everybody to head over to the InfoWars store and support Alex by getting those products, keeping Alex on the air. It is the tip of the spear. It's absolutely essential that you get those products. I bought a lot of those products. Every one of them has been excellent, especially the Coral Calcium Toothpaste, especially all the books, documentaries, the T-shirts. It's great stuff. And you can keep fighting this war by supporting Alex in the store. You know, we're actually having a lot of victories. And so even though things look difficult right now, this is actually the key point where we have to support the InfoWar. And we're talking about all these different elements that the elite have about how they want to come at us to control us, steer us, corral us. And we know about, you know, the government tyranny. We know about the Fed, the Federal Reserve. We know about insane taxation. We know about the media that lies and goes after, you know, people who haven't done anything wrong, especially people like Trump going after Elon Musk for free speech. But a lot of people forget religious engineering. This is so key. This is so big. And Alex has actually talked about it for a long time. You know, this great book by William Jasper that was written back at the time of 2001 about the elite conspiracy to take over the world, usually using entities like the United Nations. And I think we saw in the last 3 years with the COOF, the COVID crisis, so this pseudo crisis, this engineered scamdemic, that the United Nations was a key element in that control structure, right? We were basically handing over our U.S. sovereignty and control throughout this scamdemic to this international body that would just bark orders at us, and we would do anything that it told us for the good of the planet. And now we're seeing it transition out of the security state based around medical freedom and medical control into biosecurity. The biosecurity state is where they're taking things, and that's where they're pushing a new scamdemic. They want to test out, see if they can do another one. We just saw the death of Henry Kissinger, and Kissinger is a key figure in terms of, like Alex talked about, global elite controllers and people that are architects of the existing New World Order. In fact, according to the Paul Williams Gladio book, it was actually Kissinger that was running Gladio and that whole P2 Masonic structure in Italy throughout that whole Cold War period. All the strategy of tension, terror, all of that can be located back in the figures of Brzezinski and Kissinger throughout the Cold War. And today we're talking about not so much Kissinger and the geopolitical engineering, but the religious engineering. And you could argue that this might even be more powerful and more important for controlling the masses than wars and geopolitics. It's religion. Religion is such a powerful control mechanism. I'm not saying that all religions are fake. I'm just saying that from the elite vantage point, from the perspective of the Kissingers and the Brzezinskis, I mean, Brzezinski in Between Two Ages has multiple chapters talking about how religion controls and steers the populations and where religion and the Roman Catholic Church needs to evolve into to better control the masses. And that's exactly what we're talking about, is the characteristics of the religion that they're creating and steering for the masses. It's actually ancient paganism revived.
Yeah, so one of the characteristics that we were talking about is that the Aaron of Horus will be the blending of the two sexes into one. The bisexual Baphomet of the Templar symbolizes this concept. In this Aeon, man will learn how to materialize thought. And the babe in the egg, you remember when Lady Gaga came to that award show in the egg? Mm-hmm. So this is from Book of the Law, is the magical thought child in its auric or Akashic capsule ready for launching into space, right? Because this does have to do a lot with UFOs and why the UFO phenomenon is upon us so heavily right now, and how they are making an army of new age women into yoga manifest and birth these horrible thought babies.
Who are the horrible thought babies?
They talk about if it goes wrong, you can have like ghoulies, like thought ghoulies.
You can be possessed, basically.
Yeah, or like birth a new demon, what they're talking about. So
they're seeking to get possessed, basically, right?
Yeah, and they use yoga to do this. And then another point I wanted to make about the rites of Kali and something that they dredged up from that is what they call the formula of reversion or reverse. So it's an ancient thing referencing the tantras by practicing imbibing of female urine and cooked dung. So basically anything that's gross, they want you to try it so that you...
I'm not sure. Kali Ma Shakti Day.
Yes, exactly.
Right, we're going to the Temple of Doom thuggy world right here. Look. Here's what's on my Twitter right now. I just found this yesterday. I couldn't believe when somebody sent it to me. I was like, that can't be real. No, it is real. If you go to my Twitter, you'll see there the Cosmo right there, Cosmo Magazine on their Instagram. They put up how to have a satanic abortion ceremony. And so people say, oh, it's just a joke. If you go and read the actual article at Cosmo, it says, while some might think the name of the abortion clinic is a joke, it's actually a legitimate medical entity that is a real operating abortion clinic. So, yes, Cosmo magazine did put up a how to have a satanic abortion ceremony.
So talking about Kali again, the devotees of Kali were taught to make no distinction between the contents of a dustbin and the gourmet dish. They perform their rites in the cremation ground surrounded by dead bodies, which to them is the flower-strewn yoni of the goddess. So that's why ugliness is celebrated. That's why disgusting things are celebrated.
Inversion.
Yes. The law of reversion. And so why yoga? So they think that it's possible to draw off stellar and or transmundane energy by using the human organism as a condenser. So when you are doing your kundalini poses and you're doing all of this yoga and meditation, you are acting as a condenser for these demons. So the occultist uses the yantra to focus and penetrate the ether. And then I have one more quote about the role of the woman in the new aeon. Ready for that?
Yes, tell me. The role of the woman. And so is she supposed to embody the goddess, I'm guessing?
Yeah, new
Isis. So all the women are to become Isis and the Scarlet Woman, right?
Yes, childless condensers of energy for ET.
Childless possessed hoes, basically, right?
So it says women will fulfill a different function in the new aeon. In the Isaiah current, that's Isis, gather strength about the astral atmosphere of the earth, more of her earthly vehicles will be prepared to propagate a race of magically generated beings able by virtue of the subtle complexity of their mechanism to probe extraterrestrial dimensions. So there's your Katy Perry ET, hypnotize me. How does it go? I forgot.
I don't know, but you know yeah, makes sense. So the aliens are basically just demons. That's the crux of this, right? And the idea is that you become a host for these entities, and then you're going to get empowerment. You're going to get self-affirmation. That's what Cosmo is telling women, right?
You are AT's baby mama.
Yeah, but you're actually, it's just actually sacrificing an entire generation to Satan.
Yes,
basically.
Because you have to be childless.
Yeah, well, and in Childhood's End, which is written by a guy who was himself a Crowleyan, Arthur C. Clarke, in Childhood's End, the alien that comes to give humanity peace and medical advancements is actually then threatening. And all, he says, you have to give me all your firstborn children. Mm. And then I will take them. They can become the new evolved human race. And oh, by the way, I'm sorry, I have to depopulate your planet. So it's the same thing that Karelin does in Childhood's End, basically.
Mm-hmm. So be on the lookout for these signs and symbols. One is the circle in the X, fusion of O and the X, which produces, they call the lightning flash. And they talk about Nodens, the god of the deep or the abyss, and connect that to extraterrestrial intelligence.
Well, what they're calling ETs, by the way, and that's been all in the news the last 2 weeks, again, with all this alien nonsense, pushing all the alien crap. Oh, the government's been hiding ETs. Oh, but really, we want you to know that there are aliens, right? Yeah. Wink, wink.
And it's the sexual methods of establishing contact with these entities, more evolved than man, they say, will be perfected, and there are already signs of their development. And this book was from 1974, I think. So they were already talking about channeling ETs onto the earth in 1973.
Well, Crowley, when he drew the picture of the god Lamb that was supposedly talking to him, it happens to look like one of the greys, mm-hmm. right? It has the big bubble cone head and then the big black eyes. And so, yeah, I think that it's not accidental that the entities that these people were channeling, that they're calling the gods, just happen to also be the aliens.
So if you want a full explanation of this book, I have it on my channel on Rockfin. And we just did also Hitler the Black Magician on that channel. And they complemented each other perfectly.
Yeah, you can also be sure to go to my website, jasonanalysis.com. You can order the books in the shop. I'm back from my pilgrimage, so book orders have been delayed, but they'll be going out very soon. All the books there are signed copies. You can get Jamie's books as well in the shop. Go to my YouTube channel, Jay Dyer, and subscribe as well. It's a growing channel, and I've been covering a lot of movies, films, and geopolitics there. This is the Alex Jones Show. Be sure and support Alex by going to the InfoWars store and buying those great products.